This is episode number 22 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of April 21st, 2008. Coming up on this week's episode, we've got this week's distractions, gaming news. For our feature, we've got a big old discussion about an itty-bitty topic, new releases, listener email, and the recycled question of the week. But it's not an old question. It's a new one about... Well, you'll see. Anyway, take it away, Chris.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 22 of the Interactive Distractions podcast.
22, my lucky number.
It is?
It is, actually. I was born on the 22nd. My first marriage, wait, I wasn't on the 22nd. I was going to say that would be bad luck then. But my daughter was born on the 22nd at 10:22 p.m., which military time is 22:22.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's like freaky and eerie.
So this is a very special episode for you then, isn't it?
Near and dear to my heart already.
Well, I am Chris Riccio, and I'm here with Jason A. Stryker.
That's me. And wait, before you announce the next guy. I mean, this is a big moment. I've been missing Jeff for like 2 weeks now. I was off the show a couple weeks ago. He was gone last week. So we need a little intro music for him. It's quick.
Oh, God.
I go.
Asshole.
Hey, Jeff Chorty.
Hola.
That's all I got.
That's awesome.
Well, I have no one to speak Spanish to anymore, so I gotta try to speak it to you guys.
That's awesome. Well, as Jason said, we are we're back together again. It's been 3 weeks since we've had the full cast on the show. So, how about that?
Seems like
I was singing "Welcome Back" a few minutes ago, but I'm sick of it. Now, so sorry.
Like the Mr. Cotter theme song?
Yep.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, Jeff, I'm going to get to you later. Jason, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I had a little incident happen to me earlier today, and I'll talk about that during my distractions. But I don't know. It's good to be back on the show. It's good to have Jeff back, and I'm all right.
Cool. Jeff. All right. Welcome back.
Thanks.
How was your vacation?
I missed doing the show. It was awesome. Really good. I want to go back.
No.
Canada sucks.
I'll
go there. Get a new PC. Sorry, what were you saying, Chris?
I saw some of your pictures on Facebook.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it looks like you had a lot of fun.
Barely safe for work pictures.
Yeah, them are. it was fun, though. It was good. It was... A lot of stories came out of it. I pretty much injured some part of my body every single day. I won't go into super detail. You know how people kind of get mad if we get sidetracked and talk about shit that's not related to gaming. But
yeah.
Can you tell
who
a story?
Were these people?
So the first day we're there, we're kind of excited. It was myself and my girlfriend and four other couples. So there's 10 of us in total.
Oh,
so wow. We get our flight got in around like 9:30 p.m. Had to take the bus over there and. We got there and we were like, oh, this place is amazing. We checked in, went to our rooms. There's like champagne in every room. So we all met up at one room and started drinking right away. Went down to like the main lobby bar, drank a little bit more. And then we're like, hey, let's go check out the disco. Because they call it a disco there, which is hilarious. I love how like clubs and stuff are the disco. Or maybe it's like that there in the States too. I have no idea. But
no, it's not.
I was like, okay, well, let's go check it out. So we're walking over. And I don't know what happened. A few people went in to stop at like, another bar on the way over there to get some drinks for everyone. So we're like, all right, more drinking. And we see this kind of castle-looking thing. So we go in there, kind of like, it's kind of like a wall. Like it kind of looks like there's like an enclosed pool, but the fence around it was kind of like the shape of like castle walls, kind of. So
nice. Did it have a moat?
No moat.
Did it have a moat?
A moot.
It did have a moot.
I'm done. I swear.
And a few moots. So we go in there and we realize, okay, this is obviously like a kid's pool because there's a small pool. And then on each side coming out of like the towers on the so-called castle were these two water slide things. So right away, me and my buddy look at each other. We're like, let's do it. So, of course, the water on the water slides were turned off because I guess it was night. So we're like, hey, we probably shouldn't be in here, but let's like lube up the water slides. So we start throwing water on them.
What are they
going
to do?
Me and my buddy, yeah, exactly. So we get down to like our boxes, we're climbing up there, and then we're at the top, and My buddy goes down first, just, you know, going down the slide. He's like, woo, like beer in hand and stuff. So I'm like, all right, I'm going head first. Fuck this. I'm going to be Superman. Super Canadian. So I dive down going head first. And I thought I timed it right because I wanted to put my head down right as if it hit the water so I don't, like, smash my face off the water. Mm-hmm. But I guess I had a little bit too many wobbly pops before that. Or wobbly sodas.
Wobbly pops.
Crazy yeah. Yanks was that.
Wobbly pops sounds so much better.
Yeah, it does.
So I put my face down a little bit too early, and instead of smashing my face off water, I smashed it off water slide. So I hit the water, I go down. Right away, my first initial reaction is, shit, that kind of hurt, but it was fun. It's like I'm still kind of at the bottom of the pool, trying to be like, okay, I gather myself. I go up, and I'm like, woohoo! Everyone's like cheering and stuff, or like cheers and stuff. I realize there's no beer in my cup because, of course, it's all in the pool. So then I'm like, why does it still feel like there's water dripping down my face? And someone's like, oh my God, Jeff, you're bleeding. So I feel my nose and there's blood on my hand. I'm like, oh my God, this sucks. This is the first night there. We haven't even been there for like 2.5 hours yet. And I'm like, how bad is it? Like, it's a little tiny, it was a little tiny cut, but it kind of swelled up a bit. So if you see my pictures on Facebook, I'm going to post up in the forum, but some of the earlier days in the week, you can clearly tell my nose is a tad swollen. There's like a cut on it. And that was injury number one. And literally every single day after that, I injured myself somehow. I'm covered in like bruises and cuts and crap like that. I jammed my thumb on a football trying to show off in front of a camera. Try to catch up on my back and my thumb. Bashed my knee off a coral reef. We tried to fit three of us in this little cage thingy when we were trying to fit in. Drunk, we tipped over. My hand was outside of it. So everything landed on my arm. I bruised all down my arm. Had like 16 people from Spain laughing at us at that point, getting our pictures.
For good reason.
It's good times, though. It's good times.
Are there any YouTube videos? That's what I want to know.
There is. There's only one video. It was on my Facebook. It's just me and this my friend who actually went down the water slide with me digging a hole because we buried one of our other friends on the beach. But that's the only video we have up yet.
That'll do.
Anyway. But yeah. I will say, though, listening to the podcast, not being there, it's a lot different. It's kind of cool because I'm actually like listening to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because you don't listen to us while we're doing the show. So.
No, it's good. It's kind of, at the times though, I wish I was there. I was like, wait a second, what? Like, you guys are talking about that one fighting game. I can't remember towards the end of the show.
Arcana Heart.
Yeah, sure. And you guys are talking about it. And then one of you guys like, hey, I don't think Jeff would like this. I'm sitting there like, what the fuck? I totally would like this. And so one of you guys like, oh, yeah. I don't know. It's Japanese anime. Then I'm like, what? I like fighting. And then Chris like, well, you know, he does like 2D fighting. I'm like, ah, see? Chris knows. I do like 2D fighting. And he's like, then that's when Jason's like, yeah, with the anime thing. And then I'm like, all right, true. I don't really, not to begin of that kind of thing. And yeah, what was I going to say after that? I can't fucking remember.
things are back to
whatever. Effects, communication.
Yeah, pretty much, dude. I thought it was. I was hungover for like 4 days straight. It was
nice.
I thought I had malaria. I thought I was dying. It's that bad. But no, other than that, it was a great vacation. Good to be back. Mm-hmm. To some extent, work sucks, but good to be back on the show, and that's about it.
Cool.
Cool. All right. Well, I've had a shitty week, and I really don't want to talk about it, so.
You have had a pretty shitty week.
I have had a really shitty week.
Go ahead and tell us anything. Come on, Chris.
Oh, damn it.
What'd you do?
Monday, I was... something shitty has happened every day this week. All right? Today's Thursday. Monday, I was in a car accident.
Oh, boo.
Yeah. Me and this other guy were getting off of an exit, and we both stopped, and he looked like he was moving forward, so he was taking off. So I started inching forward, and I looked to see if I could go, and he didn't leave, so I hit him. And, you know, I was going maybe like 5 miles an hour or something like that. And, you know, if it was another car, I would have been fine. There would have been no damage to either car. No, he was driving a Ford F-150. And my little Eclipse went right underneath the motherfucker. So,
well,
yeah, it's right now it's in the shop and I'm driving around a Camry, which I'm very unhappy about. But yeah.
little bit of a downgrade, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Camry is nice and all, but it's not comfortable for me. And it's an automatic transmission, which I hate. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just
look at me on Mr. Standard. I only tried.
In reality, the newer Camrys are actually more powerful than my car. It's just that I'm used to my car, and I love my car. So had it for 7 years. I just
you get a Vespa. Just be done with it.
Yeah, there we go. So the where I was going on Monday was I had a doctor's appointment because I had an ultrasound scheduled to look at my neck. Because about 6 months ago, I actually found a lump in my neck. And all the doctors have told me that they're not worried about it, but I'm still, going through the motions to get it checked out.
Oh, Christ, so, the well wishes are already filling up the email box. Here we go.
Wonderful. That's where I was going on Monday when I got in the accident. So I had to reschedule for Tuesday, and I go in on Tuesday and, where the lump is, it's like where my lymph node is on my left side. And, he's performing the ultrasound and, he's doing he put the lubricant on my neck and he's running the thing around my neck. And, he finishes and, grabs a towel or something and wipes the lubricant off my neck. And I'm like, you didn't even hit the spot that the lump is in, right?
Just dirty mind. Lubricant, well, yeah. Towel.
I know. And there's plenty of sexual innuendos, and I won't be offended if you make any. It's fine. So he's like, well, the doctor, it's listed on the sheet to look at your thyroid. And I was like, no, not my thyroid, my lymph node. That's where the lump is. It's right here. And I pointed to it, and I was like, so do it again.
Oh,
sorry. That was bad. Anyway, so he, started the ultrasound up again and he actually scanned where the lump is in my neck. And, so that took an extra 10 minutes or whatever. And it was just annoying. Then Crystal and I go out to dinner that night. And, the next morning I'm on my way out to work and I realize I don't have my phone.
Oops.
I had left my phone at Chili's, and when I called them, they said they didn't have it. So I went by there, and turns out, lucky for me, the manager had no idea where the waiter that was waiting on us put it. So I did get my phone back. So that's good. And then this morning, they get less and less dramatic as the days go by. But this morning I got pretty much all the way to work and realized, oh shit, I left my laptop at home. So I had to turn around and go home and get my laptop and come back. So yeah, it's been a shitty week.
You've had a stellar week. Nice.
Yeah. I did bowl well last night, so that was good. But besides that.
And I was happy that I fucking am finally having solid poos. And yeah, that's
okay. I'm very happy too. Good.
Yes. It's good that we know that now. Thanks.
Trust me, man. You go to Dominican.
I will keep that in mind. All right. Well, moving on. Jason, what are you playing this week? What's distracting you?
I'm still stuck on the poo.
Let's get away from the poo and onto the games, please.
The hell did I play? Not much. I went to go pick up Arcana Heart, and as it turns out, they just don't carry it at Best Buy.
No.
So while I was there, I picked up a game that I've been meaning to for a while because I finally had it on sale. Hellgate, London.
Oh, nice.
It's pretty cool. I mean, it's not a free to buy. Like, you got to pay $30 for it, but it's free to play online unless you sign up for an additional account. But that is beside the point. Made by Flagship Studios, old devs from Blizzard North, makers of Diablo. And so the third person, kind of hack and slash in the same vein as Diablo. It's a lot of fun. I've only played a couple hours of it, so I can't say too much, but I do plan on playing more. So I'll let you guys know once I'm done. So far, I dig it, though. A lot. It's like fat loots and shit. And you mix the swords and guns, fat loots and demons, and it looks pretty. I like it. Let's see what else. Oh, we're going to start playing WoW again. Can't wait, I think. Is that a love affair, love-hate relationship with that game?
Jason will be leaving us for a small period of time, people.
Yeah. Well, what we're doing is we've got five people together and we're just going to play on Saturday nights for a few hours. We'll see how that works out.
On Saturday turns into Sunday mornings.
Oh my God, we have to play again.
Yep.
Bring your laptop to the toilet.
Hopefully it won't be that bad this time. We'll see.
This time.
Well, today was a pretty exciting day though. I rushed home and, you know, cause it was the PlayStation, store, you know, reopened, revamped. There's new content and stuff. And I'm like, ooh, I gotta get this. And, you know, I downloaded all these new Rock Band tracks and stuff. And, you know, quickly installed them and, started rocking out to Still Alive, and my bass pedal broke.
Oh,
I would cry.
I did. They were dry tears, but
on the podcast right now.
I contemplated calling you guys. It's like, man, I can't make it tonight. I don't know.
I would have come on here being all emo. I would have been like, what I feel like. Uncle Romance in the background or something.
I'm really bummed. Really bummed. Actually, the song that it broke on was the Lynyrd Skynyrd song, which, you know, added insult to injury. So,
Did you get the new track pack that just came out?
I didn't get all of them. I got, I think, two of them, and I think you were going to get the other one, and then we were going to share.
Do we do that? Isn't that cheating?
The circle of No, it's perfectly legal. I think you can like install it in like five different machines or something like that.
Yeah,
it's a gray area. I know that much. We're not like burning copies of discs and saying, "Here you go, buddy."
That's right.
No, like fun.
We should have just gotten the pack though, man, because you saved us like a dollar
50 or cents. Something.
50 yeah. cents, whatever.
Well, that's really my week. I mean, we recorded what on Sunday, put it up on Monday, and I haven't had much time for too much.
And, yeah, it's been a short week for us, for Jason and I.
So I'm just kind of calling in tonight because I'm depressed about the bass pedal.
So. I'm depressed for you too, man. Well, I'll extra rock out tonight. Just
extra rock out. Yeah. And
talk to Glenn because he got one of the metal pieces for the bass pedal, and he said it's really easy to put on and it works really, really well. So
is that a replacement type thing or like a DIY kind of fix it solution?
You know what? I honestly couldn't tell you. I haven't looked at it, but I mean, he said, I think it's a replacement.
Okay. So, interesting.
And if that's the case, then I don't know if
they're just going to replace it with the same thing, I might just mod it myself. We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, moving right along. Doogie 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 doo.
Jeff, how about you, buddy? You got 2 weeks to talk about, man.
I do got 2 weeks to talk about, but no, I only got 1 week, really. Week and a couple days. But not too much. I brought all my portable crap with me thinking I'd play it on the plane. But me and planes go together, but as well as clown and a 360. It's just not too well.
Hey-o!
So evil friends, why don't we explain who Clown is? Yeah,
Clown is the head of the Gamers Liberation Front board, and he doesn't have a 360, and he's big on the PS3.
Huge.
Yeah.
Like unnaturally so. Like in Dancing Pixies and Kool-Aid, so.
He's not that bad all the time.
No.
No, but Dancing Pixies and Kool-Aid is pretty funny, so.
I'm going to try to use that in a sentence tomorrow.
All right.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. So I attempted to play Crisis Core. So, you know, we're going up there, you know, we're taking off, and that's the worst part for me. I hate taking off. And once we get up there, I'm like, all right, cool. It's kind of settling down. I'm like, all right, starting to feel good. So I'm like, I'm going to bust out Crisis Core. Second I bust out my PSP, Turbulence. I'm like, okay, going right back in the case. I'm holding onto my handles. I'm closing my eyes and listening to some music and some podcasts or whatever. Calms out a bit more. Cool. Try Crisis Core. Same shit. So I'm like, screw this. Eventually, some other people bust out their DSs. We played a little bit of Mario Kart. That I had no problem playing. I don't know why. Maybe because there's like three of us playing it and it was really fun. So that's really all I played from the time I left to when I got back. When I got back, Samdu, who is a member on VG Evo as well as GLF, he was actually nice enough to send me Final Fantasy VII and Final Fantasy IX, actually. Nice. IX was a bit of a surprise. So I was kind of a lazy mood Sunday because our flight didn't get in until, well, we got home. I think I walked in my front door or side door at about 4:30 in the morning on Sunday. It was pretty late, so of course, Sunday during the day, I wasn't really in the mood to play too much, but I figured I'd start playing Final Fantasy VII again, and it's going pretty good, going pretty well. One thing I was able to try out, though, was the remote play with Final Fantasy VII the PSP, on the PS3, because I've never tried that before. And it came in handy, because it wasn't like I just want to try it out. My girlfriend was over, and she was watching her shows, like The Hills and whatever else that was on MTV, like for a couple hours, so I'm like, all right, fine, I'll let you watch. Then after about half an hour, I'm like, hey, wait a sec, I can probably still play Final Fantasy. So hooked it up to the remote play and started playing it on my PSP, and surprisingly, it works really well. It's really easy. Yeah, there's a little bit of lag. There's a tiny bit of lag. Sometimes when music and sound effects kind of get a little staticky at times, I guess. But other than that, I was really surprised. Like I couldn't imagine playing like a fighting game or an action game over it, because I think the lag would be a bit too bad. But for like a role-playing game, I think it's perfect.
Yeah. Cool.
And and it looks good on the screen too. Like, I actually think it might look a little bit better than on my HD TV, probably because it's not as pixelated and stuff. And of course, it's like condensed, right? So
yeah,
that was pretty cool. Really, other than that, is yesterday I picked up Gran Turismo 5 Prologue, which was surprising. Yeah, it's I'm not big into racing sims at all. The first GT I was addicted to. It was my first PlayStation game. Actually, when I bought a PlayStation, it came with Tekken 3 and Gran Turismo, only because it was a modded PS, because it was cheaper, and then those are two burned games that came with it. And don't worry, guys, I didn't burn any games after that, just because it came with it. I was like, hey, why not? Which is actually good, because I didn't touch Gran Turismo for probably about 3 weeks. Didn't even put it in. I was like, I have no interest in playing this. It was just like Tekken 3 and other games I've bought since. Then one day I was like, I'm just going to play it. And I played it, and I got hardcore addicted to it. I was playing like every day. I was like, hey, I need to buy this car. I'd do races over and over and over again just to win like the credits to get like this car I wanted. I remember it was like a Dodge Viper I really wanted. And the first car I bought was actually a Mitsubishi. It was a GTO, I think, twin turbo. And I got that souped up to the max, and it was awesome. But then I never really kind of fell out after that, and I kind of was like, I'm kind of bored with racing sims. So I was kind of hesitant to buy it, especially because I'm kind of critical, because it's $40 and it's more or less a glorified demo.
Yep,
and I still do think that. I think it is overpriced for what it is in the end. But I'm really liking it a lot, actually. With it, I also picked up the DualShock 3 controller. I had to.
Nice.
Need my rumble with my GT. Feels really nice. First thing I noticed, though, is the first thing I had to do was switch over to the controls. The default, so X is to accelerate. And ever since playing like racers on Dreamcast, really, I need to have the trigger, so I switched that right away. Things that stand out, the cockpit view. Cockpit view is amazing. It is, I'd say, the best cockpit view in any racing game. Not because it necessarily looks the best, but I think it has the best field of vision within that view, if that makes sense.
Yeah, like, it does.
Some other racers have the cockpit view, but you go in them, it looks really pretty, but it kind of hinders your sight, and you're kind of like, okay, well, that's cool for a while, now I'm going back to third person, or you know, that front of the car look where it just has like the HUD and that's it.
Yeah.
Graphics overall, I think, are really, really good, but I don't think they're the best thing since like sliced bread that some people are saying, or like, oh, it's the best looking game ever. It looks like just like Crysis, but a racing game. Cause it does look good. Like, don't get me wrong. I think the car models are the best ever, like for sure. And some of the reflections and stuff off windows and off the paint jobs look real as hell. But then other things like some of the backgrounds and some of the things in the background aren't quite as good as in some other racers, like Project Gotham Racing 4, which has amazing weather effects and backgrounds and things happening like off the track kind of thing. Like, just look really cool. But see, if you put the two together, it'd probably be the best looking racing game ever, but it's still great looking, like for sure. It just seems to be not too much happening off the track. Like, you'll see people standing there, but they're not really moving. If you look really closely right when you pass them, they might do like a wave or something. But until you reach that part, they're just basically still standing there. So it just kind of I get that kind of racing on a model, like track kind of feel. Like, you set up this model of this track and you're racing a car around it. I don't know if that makes sense.
Now, you mentioned this as kind of just like a glorified demo. What is included? I mean, how many tracks, how many cars, do you know?
It's six tracks with different variations of the track, but really it is like six tracks. So it's basically like six tracks plus, I guess, the same tracks in reverse plus some sections. So I guess it's probably in the 20s, but it's still the same track that you're seeing.
Gotcha.
Same six tracks you're seeing over and over again. Mm-hmm. Also, I think it's 60 cars. There's a few games. So 60 is it seems like a lot, but when you're going through looking at them, really the ones that you actually want to use. Yeah, exactly. Some of them are similar. There's not really, like, you'll go to the different car manufacturers. I think there's about 20 in the actual game, and some of the manufacturers only have one car, some will have two, few of them will have three. But in a lot of those cars you probably would never want to use anyway.
Have you unlocked all the cars?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
No, I couldn't have. I'm not even done the first, the class in, because there's three classes. There's class C, B, and A. I'm pretty sure they might have the S classes too, but you probably have to unlock those.
Gotcha.
Like I said, not that far. But,
I know that, I think that most of the races are supposed to unlock new cars.
So yeah, they probably do, because there's definitely not 60 from the get-go, for sure.
Now, did you download or did you buy the Blu-ray?
I bought the Blu-ray.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, because I need to have that kind of physical, like, disc and stuff. And
I freaked out for a second last night when I hopped on PSN and I saw Jeff was on and he was playing, you know, Prologue, and I'm like, well, shit, it's available. Let me go see if I can get it. No, it wasn't there. So I'm like, oh, wait.
It did go on there. I remember about 1 a.m. Back to check out the new store and it was on there.
Hmm.
Like, it just went out because I was on there before that. I didn't have it on there. And also the Blu-ray disc came with a little documentary on kind of the history of GT. I haven't watched it yet, but check that out tonight. The cars feel awesome. That's one thing about GT I love. Like, you're playing the game, it just feels like every car feels different and they feel realistic. I guess as realistic as a car can feel with a control pad, but they feel like they have weight, which I think is really important in a racing game. Doesn't feel floaty or anything like that. And they seem to react really well. Like, if you take your foot off the accelerator, you feel like the tire's just getting just enough grip as they should. And I don't find myself spinning out all the time. Overall, yeah, just pretty damn good. There's a couple problems with the game. Not problems, little annoyances. For one, when you're in the shops and you're viewing your cars, like, to buy, and when you're looking at them, like, maybe I just wasn't hitting the right button, but you're viewing the car, what it'll do is it'll show it from, say, front angle, and it kind of starts turning, and then what it does, it fades out. Then second later, fades back in from a different angle, and then it'll fade out, fade back in. Like, I wish it just had the car there and you can just kind of turn it with, like, the right analog or something like that to look at it and see it, whatever. So I thought that was kind of annoying, because especially when you're picking your color, it's like, how does this color look? And it's only on the screen for like 4 seconds and it fades out, fades back in at a different angle. And just kind of like a little annoying. Just kind of like just me being a douche, really.
You should admit it.
The AI still, like the other Gran Turismo, they still follow a track, which kind of, you won't notice if you're only doing the races a few times each, but when you're in Gran Turismo, you're racing the same tracks like over and over again, right? Because you have to open up the new classes. So you'll find, especially, I think it's the first time you race on, I can't remember what the track is called. It's the track that's in the GTHD demo. Okay. I can't remember what the track name is. But anyway, the first place car, always in the first lap, no matter how many times you play that race, will always go off the road slightly just before it goes through the tunnel. And I played the race probably about 10 times last night, and it did it every single time.
Huh.
So they kind of, it's not really on the fly AI. I think it's all kind of pre-scripted to an extent. One thing I did notice, though, they're not as dumb as they were in other GTs. Like, don't forget, this is coming from, I've only really played GT1, a little bit of 2. I did play quite a bit of 3, but not, and I didn't even touch 4. So I'm not sure if it's consistent all the way through, but I remember they were pretty dumb in the other ones where if you're, say, you spin out, and there's a car coming behind you, it won't even try to swerve and get out of your way. It'll just pretty much rim right into you and then kind of, so you kind of nudge it across and it'll kind of keep going. And this one, they will most of the time avoid situations like that or not ram right into you on purpose. Like, they can't see you, which is kind of cool.
Hmm. Yeah, I heard they improved the AI. I just wasn't sure exactly what they did to it. So hopefully they're still working on it for the full release next year.
I hope so. Because, I mean, one thing that Forza does beat it out in, it's definitely the AI. The AI in Forza is fantastic. But I've always, like, I've owned Forza 2, and I've always been more leaning more towards the side of Gran Turismo if I had to pick one or the other. Just because I find it more fun. That's really about it. And I got to say, the one thing I really think that why I'm enjoying this game so much is the cockpit view. It's just done so well. I don't think I could play it in any other view, and it just makes the game that much more fun playing the whole thing. Like, the lighting in it is awesome. You'd love it, Chris. Like, just going in tunnels, and like when you're going in the cities and the lights are kind of like coming through the buildings, but you can see the reflection not only on like the car, but when it passes over your windows, it actually realistically, the shadows go across you and across the car like they would.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty sick stuff, actually.
Now, how are the mirrors in the in-cockpit view? Are they helpful?
Yeah, they are helpful, actually. You can just, in the cockpit view, you can see the rear view mirror fine. Of course, you can see your left mirror. That looks fine. I mean, they are helpful. Like,
well, have you used the right stick yet?
The right stick doesn't do anything.
Really? Because I thought the right stick actually turns your head.
That's actually what I was actually going to mention next. I'm kind of disappointed in, because Project Gotham Racing 3 and 4 had that in the in-cockpit view. The right analog stick basically was your head. It was basically like a first-person shooter. Like, you controlled where you looked with that. So if you just tapped it slightly to the right, your character would look slightly to the right in the cockpit. So you can kind of look like diagonally out the window, you know, kind of look up, look down, look at the mirrors. But in GT so far, it doesn't do that. You can look out each window and behind you. But what you do is you hit a button and it instantly just switches to a view that way.
Oh, I see.
So it's not like it's like free roam. Like, you don't have control over it, really. Gotcha. I'm kind of hoping they do add that. That'd be kind of cool. And another thing,
I remembered it being there in the demo. I must be wrong. I don't know.
Well, the in-cockpit view wasn't in the demo.
It was for some cars.
Was it really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lancer Evolution had it. I know that because that's pretty much the only one.
Not GT HD.
I'm talking about GT5 demo.
Yeah, see, I never downloaded that. So. Yeah, the right end. I've tried the right analog stick, and it doesn't do anything. One thing I hope they do add is a little stupid thing, which I think would add that much more to like the graphics in terms of realism. Is, you know how in first-person shooters they're putting in that kind of head bob kind of thing when you're like walking?
Yeah,
I hope they put that in this in cockpit view. So like when you're turning or you want to bump, so the kind of view kind of shifts within the cockpit view. I think that'd be really awesome. That's just something I wish they'd do. I think that adds so much more realism to it, to an already realistic game. But overall, I'm really liking it. I'm really surprised. I'd recommend it to anyone who's, first of all, if you're a Sim fan, you already have this. Like, let's not lie. Like, who are we kidding, right? You've already gone out and bought it already. I'm hoping too that...
No, I haven't.
I doubt it's going to happen, but when the full version comes out, I'm hoping to have a downloadable option for people who have Prologue to be like, hey, listen, you've already paid $40. Here's the rest of it for, like, even if they say another $40, I'd be willing to pay that. But if they release GT5 at $60, I don't know if I'd pick it up for sure. But I'm having a lot of fun with this Prologue album. I'm sure I'll talk about it again next week, see how it's going, because, I know, so far it's really impressed me overall. I really like it.
Cool.
And that's it for me.
Yeah, I'm a big GT fan too. I'm not going to get Prologue right away because... Exactly what you said. I think it's a glorified demo, and I think it's overpriced for what it is.
Yeah, so. It's great. It's the best demo ever, and it is more than a demo. Like, I'm not going to shit on it and say, oh, it's just a glorified demo. Like, you are getting quite a bit for $40, but not quite.
That's
enough.
What it sounds like to me. I mean, yeah. I think six tracks is pretty adequate, actually, and especially that many cars. I mean, granted, a lot of them are dupes and, you know, really not even worth playing, yeah. But...
Well, a lot of things. Well, people like the tuning and stuff in Gran Turismo, and I haven't seen that yet. I tried to tune my cars because some of the races you can't. I'm like, how can you possibly beat this without tuning my car? And I didn't find it. I went to the garage. I can't find anywhere. So I'm not sure if there's no tuning in the Prologue or not.
There's not.
Or what? There's not. Okay, that's why. I'm like, that's kind of like a big off.
And that's one of the big reasons I haven't jumped on it yet. It's because of that.
Hmm. Another thing is online, no friends list, no friend invites. So basically you're going in there, you're playing with randoms every time.
Jeez.
Yeah. I'm sure this is all stuff they can easily patch though, right? So
Yeah, I heard they were already working on that, actually.
That'd be kind of cool. I hope so. And, another thing, the update that you have to download, I still haven't downloaded it because it shit halfway through. It cut me off yesterday twice after like an hour of it downloading. So
I've actually heard that from people. If you go into the GTTV area, you can download it from there, and apparently it's much more stable from there.
Okay, that's what I just did, because I was just playing it just now when I saw you online, Chris, and I was like, I'm just going to try it from here, the actual menu and the actual game. So it's downloading as we speak, so hopefully it's done by the time.
Cool. I think that patch actually has some extra online options in it.
Oh, really?
I think I read that. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I read that.
I'll keep my fingers crossed. Yeah. And I'd say it's definitely the showpiece for software for PS3 right now. That and Uncharted are right up there. Stick it to the cockpit view and be like, check this out. Awesome.
Very cool.
Neat. Well, how about you, Chris? You been playing anything?
Not a whole lot.
Haven't had a lot of time.
Yeah. Yesterday was Warhawk Wednesday, so I got to play some of that. Yeah, we didn't really get to play that long though because
it was kind of a bust. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys weren't on there when I signed on.
Well, what happened is that first when I got home, I started up my PS3 and it was like, download new firmware. I'm like, all right, fine, download new firmware. And I load the game up, it's like, download new patch. I'm like, fuck. So I got home and actually got a chance to turn my PS3 on at about 9:15. And I got to get into a Warhawk room at about 10 to 10. That's how long it took me to get everything.
Make a sandwich or something. Yeah. take a dump. It's going to be a while.
Play some Crisis Core. we only got to play for like a half an hour, or I only got to play for like a half an hour. And in that time, the last couple of weeks, I've been saying that I've been getting booted. This time, the server just dropped us all.
Yeah.
And it happened twice. So it was like after the second time, I think everyone just was like, whatever. I mean, something weird's going on and they just gave up. So,
right. I was waiting for Ricky to restart it. And I said, well, I'll start a room if, you can't get it. But, by the time that came around, everyone was pretty much logged off. So,
yeah.
So how are you guys doing? Cause I have yet to make one of the Wednesdays. I promise it will next week, but, are you guys having somebody do a dedicated server and we're playing on it, or somebody just with like the best connection hosting all the games?
Eamon has been hosting the games so far.
Mm-hmm.
And he's been making a playlist and we've been just doing that. Yesterday we had as many as I want to say 10, maybe 12 people in the room at one time.
Sounds right.
It was fun while we had a chance to play, But it dropped us a couple times and I think everyone just got fed up and just stopped.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people that were trying to get into Warhawk Wednesday this week, sorry. We're going to try again next week. Hopefully it'll work better. Today I did pretty much what Jason said he did. I came home and I jumped on the store. I wanted to check it out. I am really impressed with the store now. PSN store.
I like it a lot better.
Oh God, it's miles above what it was. And, it's faster and it's easier to find stuff. So I went around and I started downloading stuff. I downloaded the layer patch and I downloaded some Rock Band content, Still Alive and, the Harmonix pack that has, the Freeze Pop song on it. I like Freeze Pop and Rock Band. It's fun.
I was hoping you'd get that one.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So it's there. And then what else did I get? I got a few, I downloaded a few themes and stuff like that. But overall, I'm really happy with the new store.
Immense.
Yeah. And then I popped in Rock Band and started, got to play a few songs on guitar, a few songs on drums. My bass pedal didn't break, so sorry about that.
That's rubbed in.
But, I played Still Alive on guitar and drums. I played the new Freeze Pop song on guitar and drums and a few other songs. Had fun. I'm rusty, just like Jason was saying he was last week. So, I got to, started playing drums and I was like, what's that orange bar again? I don't know what that is. Bass pedal, right. Okay. I wasn't doing all that great, but I was, picking it up again. Then I popped in Lair because I wanted to try out the new, analog controls.
Uh-huh.
And, like immediately after I started the game, I got a message from Jeff that I didn't check right away. So, but the analog controls, it's the six axis controls with an analog stick. It's
so like the game still sucks, basically.
Well, they didn't improve the control at all. It's like, it's still not as responsive as I'd like it to be. Yeah. You know, it's, but they added a crosshair too.
Riding a dragon, how many games can you think of where you're like riding on a horse where it's like extremely precise?
Well,
exact.
Yeah. I will say it was intentional.
You ever rode a dragon, man?
Not the last few hours, Jeff.
They listen to you.
They do.
It does work better than the six axis, but I don't know if that's saying much.
So. I don't think it's going to say it. I just think it's a bad game in general, which right about now I'm going to call out Nabo. you know, you have those little sayings on your PSN accounts. You can look through your friends list. Yeah. It said Lair greater than Warhawk.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much. Now you're close.
Yeah, he was complaining about the Warhawk controls a lot. And,
That's like saying this guy is purple. It's like, yeah, it's just you're just wrong. Chris.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say. So what I've been playing most of the week is, of course, Phantasy Star Collection. I'm still playing part 4, and damn, is this game good.
I had
no idea how good this game is because I didn't play it when it was on Genesis because it was $100.
Oh.
So, but yeah, I mean, I don't know exactly how far I am in it. I think I might be like a fourth of the way through, but, you know, just everything about it so far, the story, the way they present the story to you. I love the fact that it's like, they present the story in like a comic book like fashion. Yeah. The cool cutscenes that they do. Yeah. It's just fantastic. And, you know, I know we're going to end up, I don't want to talk about it too much because, you know, it's an old game and all that other good stuff. But I mean, I am just enjoying this. I haven't played anything else until yesterday when I played Warhawk. Mm-hmm. It was all about, I would get home, Phantasy Star Collection.
Is this coming out to US or no?
No, you have to.
Probably not. This is part of like the Sega Ages collection. And I forgot how many volumes they're up to, but they've got tons and they're already
something
compilations. Yeah, compilations of old games.
Yeah. And remakes. They actually, part of them was a remake of Phantasy Star 1 and 2. But those are only in Japanese, so I was thinking about it. I was like, maybe I should get them. No, I shouldn't. Phantasy Star Collection is very, very much on my addiction list right now. I can't stop playing it.
I'm playing it right now. I'm not. I want to, though.
Good PC surprise.
It's sitting right over there. Damn it.
I got a new PC.
Uh-huh. Congrats.
Finally. And it has Vista on it.
I'm sorry.
And I hate it.
I figured.
I've had this thing hooked up for a day. I've already gotten a blue screen and like...
What?
I've gotten a blue screen and like 3 shutdown errors where it's been like, oh, this program is not shut down completely or something like that. And I'm just like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, no.
So, and you know, the first time I booted it up without doing anything, I booted it up and I was like, all right, let's check. You know, so I hit control alt delete and I brought up the task manager, went to performance. It was using a gig of RAM.
Yep. Bare bones.
I was like, you've got to be kidding me. So I started, you know, turning shit off and, you know, I put the windows back on classic view. You know, got rid of all the fancy graphical bullshit that they put on there. And now it's down to half a gig. So I still need to turn some more shit off, but you know, I don't like the computer has 3 gigs on it. So it's not that big of a deal, but I still don't like having my operating system taking up that much memory.
Right.
So
I'm fine. Well, I haven't had like hard locks or anything or blue screens, but just minor annoyances, just the way that the OS works and some incompatibility problems, but all in all, it's working out okay. Knock on wood.
Yeah.
But
I didn't actually see the blue screen happen. I came downstairs like this morning and logged into the computer because I left it on.
Okay.
And it had an error message up and it said, you know, Windows shut down unexpectedly, and it said reason blue screen. I'm like, are you kidding?
What?
So I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, it's doing okay now. So hopefully it'll stay that way.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Did you get your Steam account yet?
I did not.
Damn it, Chris.
I did not. I just hooked it up yesterday, man. What you want from me?
Results.
Yeah, obviously wants you to be hooked up to Steam, man. Get your account. Yeah. Come on.
I thought it was more important to make sure that I was set up for the podcast today.
Whatever. You still have the laptops to back up. Installed Steam and went from there.
but yeah, that's my week.
The podcast from like Call of Duty 4 or something in game.
Yeah, we should try that. No.
I don't want to spend $50 on it.
But that's my week, guys. That's pretty much it.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yep. What do we got going on in news this week?
Yeah, you get some news again.
Yeah.
By the way, great job last week, Chris. I thought you did an awesome job. In fact, I was sitting here, I'm like, motherfucker is showing me up. I got to bring it next week.
I'm just trying to keep you honest, man. That's all.
All right. First up, ESRB is saying that all downloadable content for any game from here on out has to keep the same rating as the retail release. So basically, with GTA on the horizon, if they give that an M, they can't make downloadable content, say, rated adult AO or whatever. They can't do that. Right. So I'm sure you can do it under. You can basically, if you want to release something that's like for everybody or teen, go for it, but you can't go higher. Everybody's saying it's got to be the same. So it's kind of, kind of expected.
It's understandable. I don't blame them.
No, not at all. GTA, second to GTA, Ricky Gervais is apparently a main character in the storyline, playing, surprise, surprise, a comedian. For those who don't know who Ricky Gervais is, he was in stuff like The Office and The Extras, I think the other show he's on. Extras or something like that.
Little thing called The Office.
Yeah, I said that already.
Is he a main character in there? I thought he just had like a cameo or something.
He might be a cameo, but he said he plays a comedian, and I'm guessing he probably has some screen time, so to speak. I'm sure it won't be too minor or too major.
I actually heard that they did some mocap with him as well. Like they actually, capture of him doing his stand up.
That's cool.
And put it in game. That's pretty neat.
That's pretty interesting. Only a couple more guys. You guys excited?
I'm still debating. I mean, I know I'm gonna get it, but it's like I'm not incredibly, incredibly excited. I guess it might not have hit me yet.
Mm-hmm. I am now. But this is weird. I bought Gran Turismo Prologue, not too big in racing sims, and I'm excited for a GTA game.
I know. Go figure. I had no desire to play the last game, and I did try it, didn't like it, but this game has slowly crept up on me, and the excitement level's really getting up there. I'm at about a medium level. Right now.
Medium level. Yeah. So you're ready for a medium bag of chips?
Not a big one.
Good job, guys.
A little one.
Yeah. Oh.
What the hell? I was looking on Amazon today and they have an exclusive, there's the air quotes again, exclusive pre-order bonus. Yeah. And it's a Grand Theft Auto license plate. I'm like, so not only do I have the Grand Theft Auto stickers, I can now get a license plate to fully outfit my car and advertise the fact that I want someone to steal it.
That's right.
There you go. I'm kidding, eh?
What the fuck?
That's so true.
That's funny.
The game, I seem like we've been talking about this game since we've started this podcast, and I think we've talked about it at least every couple weeks. Haze, you guys know that game, the PS3 exclusive.
Are they still making that?
Yeah, apparently it's almost done. Apparently it's going to be released May 20th. With a demo supposed to be coming soon before that. So
cool.
I'm guessing. Look forward to
it. I'll check it out. The concept actually does seem kind of cool. So I'll give it a shot.
Yeah. Were you going to say there, Chris?
There's a demo.
I was asking if you were going to check it out because you're probably the most into first person shooters out of the
three. Oh, definitely. I'm not excited for it whatsoever, but I'll definitely check it out. I'll definitely at least rent it. And depending on how reviews are, I'm a sucker. So I might buy it depending, but I honestly don't have high expectations, which is probably a good thing. So it's got more room to surprise me.
Yeah. I kind of like some of the things that they're doing, like the whole play dead mechanic that they have. I think that's kind of interesting. Yeah, well, I might, but you know, you never know. It's something that hasn't been done yet. You know, at least there's something new in the game.
Well, we're seeing that a lot in like Metal Gear Solid 4, though. Like that's been in, you know, some of the trailers for a while. That he, you know, puts on the camo and he plays dead on the ground, and then as soon as they walk by him, then he flips over and he starts shooting him. Anyway, the original. That's all I'm saying.
We'll see. We'll see. My expectations are low, so that's we'll see what happens. We'll find out what happens in a few weeks, I guess. Well, yeah, a little more than a few weeks. More release date news: Soul Calibur 4. Namco has said it's coming July 29th. Again, it's another big name title coming out in summer, which just looks like this drought isn't going to happen, boys. So,
see, no, we're in it right now.
The excitement level for that one is actually going down. I was kind of disappointed with the whole Star Wars announcement, the characters. I think they're really out of place.
I think they're only really doing that just obviously for extra sales, which I'm sure it'll work.
Oh, yeah, but it's fan service, no doubt.
For sure.
But I'm sure it's all going to buy it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm
gonna pick, I mean, for sure. To be able to go beat the hell out of people with Darth Vader, sign me up.
And if you don't want to get 4, Jason, just download Soul Calibur 1 for your Xbox Live Arcade.
Hey.
Because cool. Namco announced that as well. No release date yet, but the Dreamcast version of Soul Calibur is going to be downloadable on XBLA. Mm-hmm. My guess is going to be sometime right before. I wouldn't be surprised if it's a week or two before the game comes out. And that game was friggin' amazing. That's one of the best launch titles ever.
Yeah.
Nope. That was a huge jump. Yeah. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, oh my god, look at those graphics! Yeah. Holy shit!
Yeah, I was that way too. And you know, we got the... at the store that I worked at, we got the Japanese Dreamcast in, like, however many months earlier, and we got Soul Calibur, and we had it on display, and people would walk in and be like, oh my god, that's awesome! So.
Yeah.
Yep. Nintendo has come out. Oh, I don't know. I can't remember if you guys touched on this last week or not, but Nintendo, there's a rumor that Nintendo was coming out with a redesigned DS at E3.
Yeah.
And that was coming out of an Interbrain. Like, I don't even know what Interbrain is, but is it a magazine or something or a show in Japan or something like that? I have no idea.
It's some form of media.
Yeah, some kind of media. Now, Nintendo came out and said they're denying it. They're saying there's no such thing as a redesigned DS, and absolutely no way, shape, or form are they showing anything like that at E3. So they're basically putting the kibosh in that one, saying ain't gonna happen. I think it will happen eventually. I think they're telling the truth. I don't think it's gonna happen at E3.
You think so? Because they're notorious for vehemently denying rumors like that, and then a week later say, oh yeah, by the way, here is the new DS Lite.
The DS Lighter.
Yeah.
They will do it. It's inevitable. It's going to happen. I just don't think it'll be at E3.
Right.
Just because it's selling so well. They usually do those things right when like sales start to kind of dwindle and stuff. Then they'll be like, oh, here's a new color. And holy shit, they sell another 500,000 the next month.
Yeah.
In like one country.
They got their shit down.
Hey, I'm one of those suckers. I had a regular DS and went out and bought a Lite when it came out.
Hey, so did I, dude.
Yeah.
Me too. And I'm happy I did, though. So.
Of course, I did it with the PSP, too. I had a PSP since launch day, and as soon as the PSP Slim came out, I was like, all right, sign me up.
Yeah. Well, I didn't do quite the same. I just sold my PSP a long time ago and then bought a new one when the Slim came out. And yeah. What? Sure, yeah, you can borrow it. All right, so where was I? Okay, I know where I was.
Continue.
Okay, some Team Fortress 2 news.
Awesome.
April. Do you play Team Fortress 2, Jason?
Not as well as I'd like to.
Are you?
No, I'm not mocking. I love the game a lot. I just really suck at it. I love actually spectating, though. I'll go into rooms and just watch people, and I'm like, ooh, that's cool. Ooh, that's cool.
you're doing this on PC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because come April 20th, those PC peoples are going to have a little bit of an expansion. A little bit of unlockable weapons, a little bit of some achievements added to the game. These aren't Microsoft achievements. These are achievements for
Steam
Orange Box itself. Yes, exactly. There's going to be some new maps and stuff like that.
I think it's through Steam. I don't know.
It's through Valve. If you guys have played Orange Box, right, Jason? I've got it on Chris.
On the PC.
Yeah, I have. I have it on 360.
Yeah, you know how when you play on 360, you'll even get those achievements that aren't achievements when you're playing the game. It'll come with like a gray box. It'll say, you've just done this kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, basically those. Gotcha. There are any more
from what I can tell, they're the same ones that are on the 360.
Yeah, the ones on there are.
Okay.
But these ones with the expansion probably won't be, just because you can't just add achievements to games.
True.
And very I don't true. Think this expansion, it hasn't been announced yet for PS3, 360. I think it's right now it is just for PC. Mm-hmm. So they're basically doing some tweaks, some of the classes and stuff like that. And this will be the first of many updates from Valve. They say basically Team Fortress 2 is kind of like a work in progress from the beginning. They're going to keep adding, taking away, tweaking, and you know. And Valve's awesome with that kind of stuff. They're awesome with the community. They're like kind of like perfectionists. They'll update it. Like as soon as they think something needs updating, they will update it. And I'm hoping it kind of comes to the consoles too, because I haven't played Team Fortress in forever. Actually, I think I might do that tonight or maybe tomorrow or something.
Oh, really?
Give it a shot.
Give it
I remember it was really laggy. The what?
You have it on the 360, Jeff?
I have it on 360, yeah.
Okay, cool.
I just remember it being really laggy when I tried, and I was like, I can't take this anymore.
It's gotten better on the 360. I've got both, actually. And
oh, really?
Yeah, when the game first came out, it was horribly laggy. But I played it probably within the past month or two, and it was a lot better.
And you have it on 362, right, Chris?
Yeah. I haven't played Team Fortress, though.
Oh. There we go. Team Fortress Tuesdays, guys, starting next week. Oh yeah.
I love the alliteration.
Yo.
Sweet.
Rock Band coming to Wii. We all knew that. It's coming out in, I think it's May. May comes out, right? Or beginning of June?
I think June.
Whatever. I'm not here to report news, right? I don't know. kind of like an I'm sorry to you guys for taking forever to get this out to you, and most likely an inferior version. The Wii peoples are going to get some extra tracks that were normally downloadable tracks on PS3 and 360. Some of these tracks include Dirty Little Secret, All American Rejects, Don't Look Back in Anger, Oasis, Rome, the B-52s, Rockaway Beach, the Ramones, and Roxanne, the Police. So you'll get those bonus tracks for free.
Well, we should get Roxanne.
Don't Look Back in Anger is all right. Yeah. And Dirty Little Secret is actually fun.
I don't mind Oasis, I guess, kind of, sort of, but the songs and Rock Band, drumming anyway, horribly boring.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Horrible. That is very true. For those people out there who pre-ordered your Metal Gear Solid 4 and you picked up your Metal Gear Solid 4 beta keys for the multiplayer,
yes,
you might have realized you guys have both done it. Just you, Jason?
No, I did it too.
I haven't done what you're about to talk about. I'm sorry.
Okay, because apparently once you download it and that's set up, you also have to get a Konami ID and sign in, create a Konami account, and sign in there, and then download an update, which apparently not only takes forever, it's just a pain in the ass. So basically, you have to have a PSN account and one of these Konami accounts to get in there, which isn't, I guess, really a big deal. It's just something that I wish Sony had that streamlined infrastructure for PSN. So it's one name, one sign in for everything.
Yeah, that would be nice.
And I kind of wonder why Konami's doing this too.
That's my thought too. I'm wondering why they have to do it this way, or if they have to do it this way, or if they chose to do it this way.
Yeah, this is a breakdown between marketing departments internally. You know, they all got to have their own stuff to track. I thought it was like two additional IDs on top of your PSN, like it was a Konami ID and a game ID as well.
Yeah, God, so that not. Could be. Yeah. But the game ID though, I think, is attached in with the Konami one though.
Is it really?
I think so. I think it's one of those things where you pick your name inside of a game, kind of like there's like some early PS3 games like that. You had your PSN name, then you had to create another name for like other games.
Okay.
You know? Like PSU, for example. PSO.
PSO. Yeah, that PSO, had additional.
Right, you're on. Yeah. What's it called? Final Fantasy 11's like that too.
Yeah.
Has its own kind of servers and stuff.
Well, we shall see.
So it's just more or less just a pain in the ass.
It's a one-time pain in the ass, hopefully.
Yeah.
Not a big deal, but still, it's bullshit. I should streamline that shit. Agreed.
Okay, one last bit of news. You guys have been to malls, right? You guys know what a shopping mall is.
What?
Just go with it. You guys have been to a mall?
Once, twice. to pick out some sneakers.
Walking through the mall.
It's cool.
You know, you'll see
my
like,
little brother
know,
had to buy Huskies because he was kind of fat.
There you go. Well,
I was a skinny
you're doing
one.
That. You're going over to EB. You're checking out your video games. Then you look across from the EB and you happen to see, oh, what is that? Well, I can make my own bear. I can build a bear and make my own plush toy.
I love
well,
that
guess
store.
What?
That's a good story.
Now you can be in that, now you can be in that store, look over at the EB and be like, hey, I want to go home with my own video game and build a bear.
Oh, no because way.
Build a bear is going to be coming out for the Nintendo Wii.
Oh, score.
Awesome.
Do I actually get to pick the little heart that goes in it?
You get to put together your bear, and they do little actions depending on what buttons you push, what motions you do with the Wiimote and nunchuck. And wow. You can make little friend bears, and it's good for the whole family. And there's a bunch of mini games, and you can have your bears cuddle with each other and play skipping rope and tetherball. And I don't
well,
know.
This is great because my goddamn wife keeps stealing my Build-A-Bear, and I'm like, I want my Build-A-Bear. And now I can virtually simulate the love that I have for my awesome. This is great.
Exactly. Who needs the real thing when you can build it with Waggle?
Right.
Oh man. And how do you really think about that, Chris? I'll give you a second.
That sums it up.
That's how much fun you're having right now. That's how much fun you would have with this game.
That might be what he's doing right now.
What are you having your Build-A-Bears do right now, Chris?
they're cuddling.
Why are they cuddling on top of each other like that?
Why? Who?
I'll tell you why.
Who gives a shit? That was the
and
worst
I come back,
one ever.
Butcher that. Yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah, I didn't know what to do with that. So there you go.
Whatever.
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit? And that was your news.
Thank you, Jeff.
Wow, Bill.
You're welcome.
That's fucking awesome.
Are you sure this isn't like leftover April Fool's stuff?
I'm telling you, that's what I was thinking.
Dude,
it's like, you're full of crap, right? All right.
Oh,
is this a WiiWare title or is it actually going to be on
Google
DVD?
I didn't look that much into it, man. If you really want me to, I will. No, I think it's
No, I really don't. I could really give a fuck less, to be honest. All right, well, let's take a break.
All right.
And take a breath.
Let's do it.
When we get back, what are we talking about? Microtransactions?
Yep. All right.
We'll take a break. Hang around. We'll be right back.
Goodbye. It's time to wake up.
Wednesday. Game Fans Interactive Distractions presents the 125th Annual Warhawk Wednesday exploding into action this Wednesday and every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time at the Amen Sports Arena. Come see world-famous pilots Unistrike.
Ah, fuck. Ah, shit. Ah, fuck.
Chino.
Hey, I'm getting pretty good at this.
And the Canadian Flying Ace, Goffy.
Son of a bitch, I forgot about that.
With special guest, Nabo.
Hello? Is this fucking thing on?
Watch in wonder as Torgo annihilates Unistrike again. And again. And again.
Hi, Unistrike.
Warhawk Wednesday. It's awesome.
Presented by Interactive Distractions and VG Evo.
Hey, welcome back.
Thank you.
How you guys doing?
Good. That was a long break.
Wow. Yeah, it was.
That was a long break.
Ready to start the last half of the show?
Let's do it.
Oh, done.
Cool.
Okay.
No. Oh, yeah, we're done. Thanks for listening. So we're talking about microtransactions today.
Yes.
And did we get a lot of response out of this?
We got a fair amount of response. We got stuff from, email format. No voicemail format.
I'm very disappointed.
And, yes, everyone scores negative points. No voicemail.
We should try to tell people that it's easier to say something than it is to write it.
I think we scared off Nabo last week. He sent us one. Jeff, did you hear it? It was awesome. It was really good, actually. Yep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I listened last week.
It was hilarious, actually, but he thought that we were making fun of him. And I guess we kind of were, but it was awesome to get an email or a voicemail from him.
That's how we show we love you, Nabo.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I pick on these guys and I kind of like them.
Yeah, exactly.
If I didn't like them, What?
Took him a minute.
All right. First email is from Jimmy, and I hope I don't butcher this. Jimmy Ununger. Is that right? I'm waiting for someone to tell me if it's right or not.
I highly doubt
it's right, but moving on.
Ununger.
Jimmy, you can correct us, please.
Please do. We appreciate that. Anyway, first, do you mean macro instead of micro? Because I believe that there's a difference. Do you remember when the store was first showed and one of the things showed was Warhawk, and it looked like it was more than hundreds of weapons and customizations that would presumably cost money? That, I believe, is micro, and it implemented well at a minuscule price point. And it's not necessary to get the full experience out of the game when it's released. And it's okay, even though I hate to think that such small things couldn't be for free, except it's what the game's initial plan for profit is. Like the wrench and health bio-atmosphere thingamajig in Warhawk, because I think it's not such a far stretch of the imagination to believe that EA or Activision would try to see how much people would pay for it. On the other hand, macro transactions, as long as it comes from features that the developer wanted to have in the game, but had to cut because of time, things such as different levels, more built-out story, enhanced gameplay, graphics, etc. And of course, it has to be an understandable price. But ultimately, the game should be good enough to stand on its own foundation, to not need the add-ons. Any good enough so the additions should be seen as a plus for the game. That's pretty much it right there. So he's trying to distinguish the difference between micro and macro transactions. Micro transactions are things like downloading avatars or items for your character. Very small, mini, itty-bitty things, whereas the macros are like little expansion packs. Like what we see in Warhawk, they call them booster packs or whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guys, any thoughts on that?
I don't mind microtransactions in one case only. That's if they're adding something that obviously couldn't make it into the original game, like he said, they had to get cut or whatever, or you know, they think of something later, like, oh, this would be cool if they added this in. Say, I don't know, just like in GTA, if they say they want to add a plane or something like that, and there's no way this could have made it in the game, they put that on there, say it's $2 for that, that's fine. But if they that's do it fine. In a way that it's already in the game, like horse armor,
like an unblockable or something.
Yeah, like basically, yeah, because there was pictures of Oblivion before it came out on 360 with horses in this horse armor. And then all of a sudden it got pulled, and they're like, oh, but you can buy this horse armor for $1.50 or $2. Okay. And all you did was hit OK, and it was all of a sudden like, boop, done. And you're like, so obviously all it did was unlock it already on the disc. Like, that's BS.
I agree with that.
Did it even do anything for the horse?
No, it didn't even protect the horse. All it did was just for aesthetics. That's it. It just made the horse look cool. And or stuff that EA did with it was bullshit, like charging people for stuff that was free in the last gen versions of games, like jerseys for football teams. Like, fucking come on. They're already in the game. You're going to charge people for these alternate jerseys when they're free on PS2 and Xbox. That's
I like paying to unlock cars in Need for Speed instead of actually playing the game to unlock the cars.
Yeah, or cheats, same kind of thing. EA were the first ones, I guess, to exploit that. It's like, oh, wait, we have this option to do this. We're just going to do it. And luckily, Microsoft put an end to that really quick. They were like, hey, listen, guys, like, you can't charge people for that. That's not that Microsoft or Angels, they still charge for stupid shit like themes and gamer picks. But, I mean, at least they put a stop saying, if you're going to have to charge for something, it has to be game content that isn't already on the disc. But I don't want developers to think, okay, guys, like, the thing I got afraid of with this whole thing with downloadable content is that developers are going to be like, all right, we'll put out this game, and then we're going to release the rest of the stuff that, you know, we'll put out now. We know it's barely finished, and then we'll just charge for everything else we put under here. Out afterwards, like, MotorStorm. that's like a huge example of they just said, okay, you know what? We've done what we can do. Let's get it out there, and instead of just giving people what they would have gotten for free if we took an extra 6 months to do it, we'll charge people for it. That I don't agree with either. What about you guys? I hate that shit.
Yeah, I agree. MotorStorm was partially they did that, but then I mean they did like add a mode for free and stuff like that. It still doesn't make it right though what they did. But no. You know, I'm not really sure what else I could add to that, because I pretty much agree with you. I think it's pretty much just companies exploiting it and like, hey, we can make money off of bullshit. Here we go.
Yeah.
And that's little, that, and you know, you're right. EA was the one that's been exploiting it the most. I actually didn't know that Microsoft told them to put a stop to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They put a stop to it afterwards. They said you can't put any, you can't charge for anything that's already in a game that's like the same game that's already released on another console or something that's already on the disc. Mm.
I think it's sad that EA is kind of giving it a really bad stigma.
Yeah.
The whole microtransaction thing in of itself, I'm not opposed to it. You know, if companies want to put out this extra content, you know, for people that are big fans of the game, that's great. That's fine. You know, provided the content is reasonably priced, I'm cool with that. You know, I can take a look at examples like MotorStorm and kind of, you know, stub my nose up at it and say I wouldn't pay $2 for an extra car or anything like that. But when I really think about it, you know, if I'm playing Metal Gear Solid 4 and they like released a bunch of, you know, new characters for online play or something like that, I'd probably consider it just because I'm that much of a geek over it. So there's I don't know.
What's your window of say like, okay, Metal Gear Solid 4 comes out and 2 weeks later, like, oh, you can download this new character pack for online. At that point, I'd be like,
That's really fine with me. I mean, I've paid that, you know, the model's kind of already been established, you know, with Pain. That's kind of a standard, I think, or should something, you know, be followed. You know, they charge $1 for each additional character and they're just new skins, really.
But Pain's also a downloadable game too. That wasn't only $10 to buy anyway, or $15.
True. $10.
So I think it's a full retail game.
You know, still, it's still adding content to a game. You know, it's really not much different than, you know, adding a character to Metal Gear Solid Online isn't any different to adding a character in Pain, in my opinion.
Right.
No, but my point is the window of when is it acceptable to have them release something and say, you can charge for it. My point is, like, they release Metal Gear Solid next week. A week later, they say, hey, here's 6 more characters. You're telling me that those 6 new characters couldn't have been ready for the retail release and shouldn't have already been on that disc? That the developers are thinking, let's hold this back and let's charge more money for it to get some more money out of this.
Well, I'd have to gauge that against how many characters are already available in there. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's really only a handful to begin with, you know, and then very soon afterwards, you know, they have a bunch more ready for download and they want to charge me for it, then I'll hesitate. You know, then I'll sit back and say, listen, that's not cool. But, you know, I can tell, you know, in the case of Pain, you know, this is, they're still putting out new stuff. And this game is probably, what, 8 months, 12 months old? Does that sound right?
It looks like, I don't know. It came out like a couple weeks before a Rock Band.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
So, not that long. All right. Anyway. But no, they're still coming out with stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't mind that kind of stuff. A couple games have done it right. Like, I think the guys at Bethesda have done it right, where it's actually like new missions, new items, stuff like that. Like an
except for the horse armor.
Except for the horse armor. Yeah, they started off really bad. They got better after that. And actually, Real Time Worlds with Crackdown did a really good job because they actually came out with an expansion pack a few months later. One of them was completely free, which was the option to drop any object anywhere, kind of screw around with the environments, like with some of like the stuff like gravity, stuff like that. They gave you the players that for free, but then you can also pay for this other pack, which came with brand new vehicles, brand new weapons and stuff like that, and a couple new game modes, that's kind of a cool way to do it. Like, hey, here's something for free. And then if you want, you can buy this other thing. Because obviously the stuff for free, because the thing that they gave for free wasn't any new game assets or anything like that. It was just something there, just like a new mode you can do with what was already on the disc.
There was something else that they did that I thought was really good. The stuff that you actually paid for Crackdown was it was like new online modes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
If the person you were playing with had that stuff, then you had access to it while you were playing with them.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because I'm pretty sure that I played with one of our buddies over at Pocket Otaku, Buddha, and I'm pretty sure that I was able to play like the modes that he had, even though I hadn't downloaded the patch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool because that pisses me off with first-person shooters. When like the new map packs come out, like the new Call of Duty 4 maps came out, I haven't bought them yet. All my friends are playing Call of Duty 4, and I can't play with them now because they're all playing on like the new maps and shit like that. And I'm just like, I want to play Call of Duty 4.
Yeah, one of the things that annoys me about is Rock Band, because you can't, you know, if you're going to play online, then everybody who's playing online has to have the song that's downloaded.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
All right. Well, speaking of people,
I'm going to bring up another game too, but I'll wait until another email. Okay. I don't want to get out all my stuff at the beginning. Don't want to blow my load early, if you know what I'm saying.
Wow. Check
out an email from Nabo. He's got a point about EA, actually. He writes, it's been a few weeks since I've done this, so here goes. Microtransactions are fucking retarded. Okay. So I don't mean it like that, but they do suck. One of the big culprits, obviously, is the Xbox 360 and just about everything from EA. Let me give you an example. On the PC version of NHL 2006, the one that came out in 05, there was a form of microtransactions that actually made you pay to play the game online. You would click on multiplayer and be flagged to log on immediately. Then, when you would log in, EA demanded that you pay the $3.99 to pay again for their $50 game to play online. The interesting thing here is that the game allowed you to sign up to receive a newsletter instead of paying the fee. Unfortunately, as soon as you click the fuck you button and the this should be free, so pay for it button disappears and you can't play online. Also, this pay to play online is now happening in Battlefield Bad Company on the consoles. So thank you, PC shitheads, for paying to play fucking NHL online and yet again not voting with your wallet. Signed, Nabo.
Is Bad Company charging?
I don't know.
I mean, okay.
I haven't heard anything about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure about Bad Company, but go ahead, Jeff. You were going to say something.
The Battlefield Heroes, yes, you have to you pay to, like we just talked about that on break, is it's free to download, free to play online, but if you want certain items, like they have to pay for each individual item.
Or okay.
But right. Maybe that's what he means. I was going to say, he said something that's actually a really big pet peeve of mine, and that is everyone relates microtransactions to Microsoft because they kind of started it, but unless you're counting themes and avatars, which if you just have a PS3, who cares? Why would you bitch about something you don't have the option to pay for or waste money on anyway? But last time I checked, everything on the PSN costs money as well, minus a few here or there that's free. And same with Xbox Live stuff. Mm-hmm. It's probably about equal. Like last time I checked, Resistance maps and Expansion still had to pay for them. Waterstorm still had to pay for them.
Yeah. Right. And in a way, you could even say that Microsoft is doing some of that stuff better because of the fact that, like, you know, if you have a map pack that's been out for 6 months, well, they make it free after a while.
Yeah, the Halo 3 maps that were charged, the Heroic map pack just went free last week when the other ones, when the new map pack came out.
Gears of War, and see, I think that's something that the PSN needs to do that more. Hmm. You know, like Resistance maps. It would be nice to get, like, the first set of Resistance maps for free now that the second set is out, right?
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But you still have to charge. Did they reduce the price at all or anything like that? Or
no, I don't think they did.
They should get on that because I think more people will be playing it.
And I think they should do more things like what they did with Warhawk. You know, Warhawk, they put it on sale. You know, they gave you $10 off for like 3 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
And they would probably see a big spike in sales. There's a couple of things on there right now that I would go buy if it was, you know, just a few dollars cheaper. You know, Jason and I were actually talking about Tekken 5. And I haven't gotten it yet. But the reason I haven't gotten it is because Tekken 5, the bundle with the online included, came out in Japan for $20. And we're still paying 30 for it. So what's that about? So I'm waiting until it's exactly. $20. When it's $20, then I'll buy it. And then the other one is Blast Factor. I would love to get Blast Factor and the expansion for $10, but they haven't done that yet. You know, it's like, yeah, you can get it for $13. It's like, ooh, $2 off. Thanks. You know, it's like, what am I buying, a used game at EB?
Yeah, exactly. And I don't see why they can't do that because, like any other game, once they're out for a certain amount of time, people aren't going to, all of a sudden, you're not going to see a sales spike just randomly. I mean, why don't they have sales? Like Xbox Live and PSN, why can't they be like, exactly as you said, have a sale on something and whatever. I haven't bought the new Warhawk expansion yet. Are you guys using that in Warhawk Wednesdays, by the way?
No, because not everybody has it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's well, I was going to say good because I don't have it yet, so that would be an issue.
That's fine. Well, I'm going to go on to another email. This one's kind of a long one, so it's going to be broken up in a few spots. This is from Bitch Pig.
Bitch Pig.
Yep. It's like, hey, Batman, Bitch Pig here. Since you guys whined about not getting your ego stroked last time, here goes. Great cast. Chris equals good guy. Jason equals funny. Jeff knows what he's talking about. Is that better?
Boot.
Now, seriously, I'm a little shocked at the number of outtakes you guys had last show. And that makes me lose a little bit of faith in your awesomeness. Okay, just kidding.
Oh, God.
Now you just rock in that flawed human sort of way. So, microtransactions.
I need to interject. I need to interject. We didn't even go through all the episodes.
No.
Yeah, that was not even – that was like three episodes, dude.
No. Actually, believe it or not, Jeff, that was a good number. That was probably
– Oh, I was being
Jason, sarcastic. What would you say? Probably like 12 or 13 of the episodes, something like that?
Yeah, it was probably up to 15, I'd say. Not like up to episode 15, but 15 episodes total.
Yeah.
And granted, some had more than others, but –
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
We can be bumbling idiots sometimes, not going to lie.
Who, us?
Us, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
KB, whatever.
All right, microtransactions. He's going to focus on free-to-play, free-to-download models, since that's what he originally intended, you know, when he sent us the email last week. He does not see a problem with microtransactions in the least, given one caveat. There are some things that must be balanced for it to work effectively. Point number one, there has to be a careful balance between the power of purchase items and free items. In the gaming world, I don't believe that there should ever exist a time where someone with more money or more of a disposable income should be innately superior to someone else. While that may mimic real life and the fact that money can get you a nicer education, nicer house, nicer retirement, it doesn't belong in a game world. One of the best things about a medium like games is that it opens the door for all races, religions, social standings to enjoy a pastime together without those sorts of boundaries. As much as I hate it, that motherfucking punk 12-year-old should be able to wax my ass in games, regardless of his mere $10 allowance. The natural question that comes off on this one, if there's no difference in power, then why would you ever buy an item?
Mm-hmm.
That's the end of point number one.
That's true, though. What's that game that... is it... They're just talking about that in the game when they're... Maybe that is Bad Company. Nabo must
where
get...
you're actually buying the weapons, yeah.
Yeah, you actually buy weapons, but EA came out and said, well, don't worry, these weapons aren't going to give you an advantage over the competition. Well, that's bullshit. Like, exactly like Bitch Pig said. Like, if you don't have... Why would you pay for something that doesn't give you an advantage?
Well, see, they also retracted saying that they're going to even do that. Because there were so many people bitching about it that EA actually retracted the whole thing and said, okay, yeah, we're going to make it available to everybody, but only if you do this. And I don't remember what it was. It was like
$5.
Yeah, you have to sign up for their newsletter or something shitty like that. So, but yeah, they did retract that. And I thought it was bullshit too. And you know what? The one that makes me, the one thing that makes me laugh every time I think of this is after they first announced that, before they canceled it, Penny Arcade put up a comic about it. And they put – it's like you see these – you see the difference in weapons in Bad Company, and then the last pane of the comic is Madden, and you have this little dinky human football player getting his head knocked off by like this 8-foot-tall robot football player. it's pretty funny too, because it's like, oh, they're sign of things to come, right? So
yeah, I hope gaming never goes like drops to that level. I really hope it doesn't. I hope it never goes the way of pay as you go phones. I hope it never goes like that route, because I will cry. Because you remember when GTA was first announced for PS3, there was rumors that it was just going to be, you download, it's going to be like three tracks and like four cars, then
you're going to buy everything else,
charge for everything else.
I'm glad.
I like almost started. I'm like, no, God, no, please.
Really?
Could you imagine getting charged like even a quarter for every car? I mean, there's like 300 something cars in the game.
Yeah, and the people who are like, oh, well, the thing is, you get to pick what you want. I'm like, no, that's not how it's going to work. What's going to happen is people are going to be online, be like, some car is going to smoke them, be like, I want that car. And, oh, you have to pay $250 for this car.
Yeah. That would really suck if, like, you know, better cars actually cost more money. I mean, it would make sense, but, I mean, just you're right, though. You know, when you have that amount of items out there available, you have to pay for them all. That kind of sucks.
I like the old way. Give me everything the game's supposed to have for one price. I like that way much better.
You do?
Yeah, sign me up. Yeah.
I do like the model of, you know, the whole free to download, free to play. You know, it's obviously very, very popular over in Korea. You know, there's lots of games. that's fine. I mean, the idea is that You know, this company has to make money at some point. And, you know, where do they charge for it? If it's hard to get the game, you know, in the hands of people, make it free. Lots more people download it, but they got to recoup their expenses. So that's where the whole microtransaction thing comes into play. And for the most part, all of these are merely cosmetic for the most part. There certainly are games out there that, you know, give you additional stats or, you know, double your XP or things like that. And that's where the whole gray area and the funny business comes into play. That's stuff that you got to kind of watch out for and regulate. And well, that's tough to do.
Yeah, because these companies, well, they're not stupid. They know that people are going to go for aesthetics because that's just the way, especially people in North America, are groomed, is like the whole looks thing. I mean, people wouldn't play World of Warcraft if your dude walked around with a loincloth and that's all. Like,
right.
you want to get all the fat loot and have all this crazy armor and spikes coming out everywhere and just to look like a badass.
Yeah.
So that's how they'll get everyone to pay for it. And it'll work. I mean, I'd do it. Like, if it came down to it, I would do it just because I like video games. If it came down to that, I still would play them. I wouldn't be like, so I'm not playing anything anymore. I wouldn't like it, but whatever, you know?
Well,
it's like,
Jason, you and I are both guilty of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I know that you did it too, but I downloaded Dungeon Runners.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I love that game.
That was free to play. It was a lot of fun too. And literally, like, the first or second dungeon you go into, you start finding some badass shit. And it's like, you have to pay for a subscription to use this item.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's,
that's the hook right there. It's not exactly a bait and switch. You know, I mean, they're telling you up front that, you know, you're not going to be able to use all the items in the game. You know, you'll have limited, you know, item slots or whatnot, but. You know, it's great to get in there and just try it out because you've got essentially the full game, just, you know, some of the higher end content and like some of the items, you know, you're not able to use. But I mean, I fell victim to it. You know, the game looked cool, looked funny, downloaded it, tried it out. And seriously, I was opening my wallet, you know, within an hour or two later. I'm like, and it was only $5 a month.
Yeah.
See, it's not bad.
Hey, dude, imagine walking to a strip club and, like, this girl's dancing. You give her $5, she's dancing in front of you. She's teasing you all up and down. All of a sudden, she's about to take her top off. And it's like, yeah, it'll be another $5.
The pocket until I see some tattoos.
Isn't that the way it works anyway?
Usually, I don't know what strip clubs you're going to, Chris, but usually, or which ones I'm going to. I don't know. Maybe mine are.
You guys clubs.
Jason,
in Canada.
Said you bought, we got some awesome strip clubs up here. You've been to Montreal, haven't you?
Not yet.
All right. All you people who love strip clubs, go to Montreal. Best strip clubs ever. I've only been to one, actually, in Montreal. Yeah. It's good times. I was going to say, you just bought, Hellgate London. And isn't that kind of the same thing? It's free
exactly
to play online, but if you want all the cool stuff, you have to pay money, right?
Some of the, you get the additional classes and see that. And that's kind of, something that's kind of hard to balance. Like, you get things that should have been in the game originally, you know, for an additional. And I think that's like $10 per month. So I don't know if I'm going to be shelling out for that one because, I don't know, the basic game seems okay enough as is. But, yeah, we shall
see. Wait until you see that person walking around with that big, crazy, shiny, spiky armor. And then next week on Interactive Distractions, so I bought the subscription to Hellgate London and moving on.
And that's fine. You know, I mean, there's nothing really wrong with it. I only paid $30 for the game. You know, I have the option of not paying, you know, a monthly fee. So it's my choice, essentially. And that's kind of what the whole microtransaction thing is about, is, you know, giving people options. I mean,
it really giving us options though? Or do you think they just know it's kind of like a brainwashing where they know that we can't, because it's our hobby. I mean, come on.
Oh,
like,
true. Very true.
Is it really that much of a choice? Like, yes, okay, yes. Figuratively, well, I guess, literally speaking, it is our choice. We can buy something or not buy something. But you're going to buy something you want, especially when it's related to something that you are passionate about.
Exactly.
And they know that. So it's kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of evil.
You think they're taking advantage of us?
I think they're taking advantage. In some cases.
They totally are.
But
that's how they're making their money. You know, I can't fault them. I would do the same damn thing.
Yeah.
Well,
the thing is, they're making more money from it. That's the thing, is I'm thinking, like, they're not doing it to be like, let's give these people, because the people who buy, I guess the theory is, okay, people who are going to buy Hellgate London, they're going to buy it. People who aren't going to pay that subscription fee, they're not going to be that serious about it anyway. They're only going to play it for like a month and never touch it again.
Right.
So they're figuring we'll just make our money back with this $10 subscription. So really, I don't look at this developer being nice to people who don't really play games. I look at them as being dickheads to people who really like to play games. That's the way I look at it. Yeah. And in some cases, not like I said, not all cases. I'm just being very cynical right now.
I guess so.
This is after I just bought a fucking $40 demo, mind you.
Yeah.
I was thinking that.
All right.
And I said that months before it came out. Like, I'm not buying GT.
Number two, you have to have items that are useful and people will want. Just because something is balanced properly does not automatically make the purchased one worthless. A new look, new race, new map, new region. These are all options that are not really required. We have the tendency to think in an MMO that we should get additional content for free as part of being part of the game, but we forget that $15 that is constantly drained every month from your account. We accept paying for big content updates such as the Burning Crusade and World of Warcraft. Why couldn't that apply on a much smaller scale on a transactional basis? Wouldn't that mean that we could get every new piece that much quicker?
They wouldn't have huge revenue spikes. Different way of looking at this, because he mentioned MMOs, so I'm going to mention Guild Wars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I really like the way Guild Wars does it. Guild Wars released a game for $50 that was free to play online, and they said straight up, we're going to release new content in the form of an expansion, and the expansion will be a full-priced game.
Yeah.
And that's what they did, and I think they've done two already, and they're working on their third.
They're actually working on the second game right now. I think they've had three or four expansions. The factions, Eye of the North, and et cetera, et cetera. But they're working on a full-fledged sequel at this point.
Right, but like Eye of the North and all that, those were all $50. And that was fine because you didn't have to pay to play online. You know, you just got to play.
Yep.
See, I'd rather them do that because, like I said, I'd rather pay the money up front and get everything that's included. And
I can understand
that's what pissed me off. Like when Phantasy Star Online, when they started, that was free for the Dreamcast. And they started, when Episode 2 came out or whatever, they started charging a $10 fee per month. And that was bullshit because they were doing nothing. What was that money going to? I know that's not even microtransactions. Now we're kind of going into like MMO and subscription fees, but whatever. Yeah. We'll talk. Because what did they have to do for those? They didn't exactly have to update the servers. They weren't updating anything. The world wasn't a constant. Like, if you did something in the world, it wasn't changing for everything else. There's only four people per game you're playing, and they still wanted $10 a month. And, of course, I was paying it, but I digress.
That's okay. So are we.
We're suckers. I'm telling you. Guild Wars actually
has the microtransactions. Kind of as well. You know, you can buy the packs of new missions and whatnot and some of the content from the other expansions in smaller chunks, as it were. Really? I think like $10 and you can get, a bunch of story missions and stuff.
Yeah, story missions, but what about items?
Yes, I think so as well. I think so.
Really?
Pretty sure.
And Buddha Guild Wars.
And Buddha Guild Wars as well. I like them all. I agree. I like the upfront thing.
It sounds the best so far, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely sounds the best.
Theory.
Yes.
All right. Point number three.
Again, communism works. This sounds good in theory too, right? So
that's true.
That's an entirely different story that we don't need to go into.
How's that working for you in Canada? Are you guys communists up there? I don't know. Yeah, damn sure, it! I said more Canadian jokes.
That's fine, dude. Keep them rolling. I like them.
All right. You have to balance the cost of the item to its worth in the marketplace of a game. It is a problem when additional content is priced unfairly. I look to compare a lot of $10 add-ons to games like Pixel Junk Monsters. The extra content I would pay $10 for needs to be equally matched to the usefulness of other purchases. If I pay $10 for a new map pack, I want it to give me a similar amount of enjoyment that I would get for an indie game. Based on the person, obviously, the scale will vary. But you can't be expecting people to pay $2 on one game and $10 on another if the experience is similar. Unfortunately, this third balancing point can only be figured out over time as this gets more and more fleshed out in the West. Yes? Correct. There's lots of the map packs. Halo, what are they, $10? How many maps do you get?
I don't know, it's like 800 points. They're 4-4, I think. No, 3-3. I think they only get three. I think they're a ripoff, but
three maps, $10. That totally seems like a ripoff. But they know that they're going to be able to, you know, everybody's going to fucking buy that because you mentioned it yourself. You know, everybody's playing these new maps.
Yeah.
You know, and all the other people, you know, are going to need to get on that action. So.
And well, luckily with them, like once they bring out a new map pack, the ones before that go free. And lucky enough for me, I didn't pay for the first map pack. So when I do pay for the second map pack, which I'm going to, because there's two maps in that are just totally kick-ass remakes of two of the best Halo maps ever, it's going to be like I'm paying for $10 for six maps as opposed to three.
Right.
That's the way I'm going to look at it. That's my justification. I'm sticking to it.
That's fine. Yeah, it works for me.
No, I agree. Yeah, the value has to be there, and I don't see it with a lot of stuff. A lot of companies will charge, you know, exactly what they think. They can, you know, suck out of people. Usually Halo people. They'll pay anything.
Look on the like, we're not getting raped as close to how people predicted it. When they were first talking about them, was it Peter Molyneux or someone? I can't remember who was on stage somewhere saying, "Imagine a game where you're in like." You know, you're in fantasy land, whatever, and you break your sword in battle. Well, then you can just go back to the shop and pay a certain amount of, like, Microsoft points or, like, money and get a brand new sword. Like, fuck that shit.
Yeah,
I'm going to use my fake in-game gold to buy my fake sword with my fucking video game where I'm doing this because I don't have money to go buy a real motherfucking sword with some armor.
And I don't have a horse with horse armor to ride around.
And I let my dragon out, and I'm not getting it back.
Tell us how you really feel, Jeff.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Moving on. With those 3 points in mind, I am reminded of Mythos. A little bit of background if you're unfamiliar with Mythos. But originally, it was a side project developed by the same people that did Hellgate London. It was used as a game to test the homegrown networking components that we're planning to use for HGL, Hellgate London. It ended up being loved as a game concept and is now going to be released under the free-to-download, free-to-play model. The game is a Diablo clone and is, in fact, made by some of the people that were originally on the Diablo team at Blizzard North. I've heard it called the best Diablo since Diablo. This is possibly the best anomaly to make this model work in the West. Some of the development costs of the game would be eaten up by its usage of the in the HGL development. That makes the bar easier to attain, but might also demonstrate the possibility of the system. Everyone naturally jumps on the, well, you'll just buy your character bandwagon and then pay for item concept. That's immediately met with skepticism. Truth be told, the way they're trying to put this together is to have items that will assist you in improving your character without directly improving it. Therefore, the player that plays for free can attain the same levels and quality of character as someone that pays for it. One of the examples I've read is of an item that costs X dollars that doubles experience for Y hours. This easily fulfills all of the three requirements I set down. Number one, it doesn't make the wealthy player any more powerful in the long run. Two, something that will appeal to a lot of people, including myself. And three, provided it's priced reasonably, it could be something that would extend interest in the game by allowing one to get endgame content in a more reasonable time frame. Some of the other ideas that they're throwing around is real money to buy houses and structures and the ability to allow you to share a stash in between multiple characters, both of which are not needed for play, and both of which have a desire for someone to buy it and doesn't corrupt the balance of the game.
Interesting.
The game looks interesting. All I can really say is that the free to download, free to play thing, I think is cool in theory. But this one kind of looks dangerous as well because it seems like they're trying new things with it, and it could go down a really ugly road. I like the idea of paying for cosmetic things. I like the idea of paying for co-op items or something. Nothing that gives you an edge over someone else. You know, when you're talking about buying new items to increase your stats or something like that, it gets a little dangerous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but we still do it.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, that's what we did with Dungeon Runners.
That was all co-op stuff, though. That's a thing.
That's true.
That's fine. It doesn't really
that's
give
true.
Me
you're right.
edge. Because I wasn't out killing other people.
If microtransactions totally take off and they go down that road, I can see it totally destroying another aspect of console gaming that's just getting started, and that's user-created content. If they actually get to the point where like everyone's going to be microtransaction, everyone's going to be like, why would we give the users the ability to create their own stuff? Boom, gone.
Yeah,
Little Big Planet's supposed to be like all about user-created content.
Right.
Microtransactions all of a sudden, like, you know what? No, why should we let them get this shit for free? We're going to create our own stuff, charge it. No more user-created content.
I'm not sure.
Don't know.
It's hard to say because that kind of game is built on that sort of thing. It's like Unreal. Unreal 3 is
fun mods, right?
That's a huge part of it.
It is a huge part, but there's a perfect example. Unreal Tournament 3. Let's say they didn't have user created content or whatever, and Epic somehow got the license to make the Master Chief mod. That would have made a killing.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, probably.
And it's not to say
the ability to do that, but they know that user created content
right now,
is the lifeblood of that, and they probably wouldn't be as successful.
Successful, right.
You know, one of the big things is that, you know, the Unreal Engine, so easy to mod, and, you know, they totally support that because they know the lifeblood. I think I just repeated myself, but, you know, I think the community is so huge because there's so much fan-made stuff.
But the community in Unreal Tournament isn't that huge. That's the thing. It's not that big. Unreal Tournament did not sell that well at all. It sold best on PS3, but it did not sell, like, well, so to speak. But I'm not saying it's going to happen immediately. What I'm saying is if other, like, obviously stuff that's already released, no, it's not going to happen. They're not going to take away something. What I'm going to say is stuff down the road that people might have been thinking, hey, we can have people make their own stuff for it. They might think, you know what, let's not do that because we can make way more money creating our own stuff. Or hire people to create stuff for us, and then we'll charge for it for download. That's more what I'm getting at. Like, more developers will lean more away from user-created content as opposed to towards it, which is where we thought the industry was kind of hinting towards, you know? Or was kind of you know, going towards and opening up to.
Well, I think there's room for both. And I mean, obviously, huge success, you know, overseas. It's viable. And I think it's going to come down to, you know, the marketing strategy of the company, you know, if they want to focus more on community stuff or, you know, if the almighty dollar is just the bottom line, we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, it's not too almighty anymore, but yeah.
Okay, or dollar. It's not. Anyway. Mr. Sal actually has a couple of closing statements that I'd like to read for you, right?
General quite talkative, isn't he? Today.
Don't be against this just because it's something new with its success in Asia. It's proven that it can be done effectively. I think I just said that shit. Anyway, we just need to figure out how to work it right in the West. And I think a game like Mythos will be breakouts for the pricing model. One last thing, and I apologize again for this novel, but I wanted to say thanks for plugging my new podcast in your last episode. See, this was all an ad. And thanks to the rest of the VG Evo community for your help making that cast such a fun experience. It's definitely a great community. Keep making them, and I'll keep listening. The Sal. Don't you have your own podcast? Are you trying to take over ours now? What the hell?
Have they actually had an episode yet or no? They did, right? Was it a test one or did they actually?
They had a test episode. They sent it to us, but I don't know if you checked the email, so.
I have access? I always ask you guys about access to that, but
we always tell you yes.
Yeah, I gotta write that shit down.
I always like, okay, you'll have to show me how, and then
and that's all we ever hear of it. So, you know.
Circle of life continues.
All right, we'll do that one more time tomorrow. I'll email you at work. I'll be like, dude, how do I get into this shit?
Once again, use Thunderbird. This is how you do it. And you're like Thunderbird.
I don't even know what Thunderbird is.
And
God.
To all the listeners, we finally got Jeff to use Firefox. finally.
Now we're trying to get him to use Thunderbird.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Well, that's all I've got for emails. What do you guys got for closing statements?
I pretty much closing statements. I'll let you guys go first.
All right.
Go ahead, Jason.
You know, I like the model. It can definitely work. You know, it's proven in other areas. There certainly is a stigma attached to it, and I think it's because some, you know, it's trying to be adopted over here, and some big companies are trying to hop on that bandwagon. We're seeing a lot of free to download, free to play games. But everybody has different strategies on how to, you know, recoup their costs. You know, we see EA charging for online access, or, you know, charging for specific items, or, you know, whatnot. I don't think that's the right way to do it. I think we should pattern it just as it is over in Asia, you know, for cosmetic items or co-op items, or keeping everything still in a level playing field, but allowing you for the customization. Because you know what? We're fucking suckers, and we will buy this shit. You know, people will bitch about having to pay a dollar or two for a gamer picture or something like that, but there's probably five other people that go ahead and download it anyway.
I bought a few themes. Yep, I'm that guy.
I've bought avatars, you know, and I bitch about it. I'm like, Jesus Christ, a dollar for a friggin' picture. That avatar speaks to me. I have to have it. I'll buy it. So
it looks like Avril Lavigne.
He's so hot, dude.
I'd like to state for the record that I have not bought any themes or gamer pictures.
Ha! Well, aren't you Mr. High and Mighty?
Yeah. Yes.
Damn it.
Pin another rose on your nose.
Principle of it all. I won't give money to Microsoft. You know what? The avatars and themes, they're way overpriced. And yeah, I think it's retarded that they don't give you a preview for a lot of them. A lot of them should be free. You know, it was actually brought up in the forum. I think Bork posted it that, you know, games should come with unlockable, you know, either themes or avatars, especially gamer picks.
Yeah, you buy the game.
Some of them do, but I think that would be just a cool bonus, you know. And a lot
I
of
think
them
they should be free. They're free on PSN. I'm pretty sure there's none. I think all the themes and pictures and stuff like that on PSN, I'm pretty sure they're all free. I could be wrong though. Well, I know any of the ones I looked at. Like, okay, that's cool.
I haven't seen a theme for PSN that I had to pay for yet.
Yeah. And all the themes have been free.
Yeah. And their actual themes, like they change like everything. It's pretty cool.
And you know, so one thing that we didn't bring up in this whole thing with the whole microtransaction thing is home. Cause that's kind of what home's going to be based on, right? You're going to be able to buy furniture and stuff for your apartment. And it kind of goes right back to what you guys were just talking about, gamer picks and stuff. They were talking about how some games will have unlockable, you know, specific furniture or clothing or whatever that'll be built into the game.
I like that.
Yeah, that's a good model. I think I like that idea. I think it could work. And, you know, it not only will it help people, you know, use home, you know, it'll make it more popular, but it'll also help sell games, just like achievements help sell games.
Yep.
You know, it's like you go into, and just like you guys were saying with, you know, what you were going to buy if it was a weapon or whatever. You see, go into one of your buddy's apartments and he's got a really cool ass item that's in his apartment and he got it from a specific game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he might go out and buy that game just for that.
Right. Oh, if people start doing that, they need to be smacked in the face.
Hey, people do it for achievements, man.
They do.
Yeah, people do it for achievements. What's the difference? They do it for their e-penis.
Chris, people don't buy games for their achievements, they rent them. People buy games they want to buy and own. People will rent the games to get the achievements for them.
Well, they could rent the game to get the furniture too, or whatever. So it's still the same thing.
Yeah, that's theoretically speaking.
Yeah.
I highly doubt it could be tied to a game, could be tied to a system. You don't know that.
Yeah, that's true.
To actually give you something, that's like saying you can buy this game, you get a free expansion for Halo, like, or like Crackdown, when that had the Halo beta. You couldn't just rent Crackdown, put the Halo beta on your 360, then bring back Crackdown. You had to actually physically have Crackdown, the disc.
Oh, so. What did they do that with recently? If you pre-ordered Ninja Gaiden 2 from like Circuit City or something, they gave you the Halo 3 map pad for free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a Circuit City thing, though. They just gave you a redemption code.
Right. Well, we touched on it a little bit, but I'm gonna bring it back. I am not a fan of packs that are forced on you. And the comparison I'm going to make here is Rock Band versus Guitar Hero. Guitar Hero, you know, you have a 3-song pack and that's what you get. If there's one song in there you like, the only way you can get it is through the 3-song pack. And it's a horrible formula. It's not, I can't, you know, it doesn't make sense to me to pay $6.25 for three songs when I only want one. And that's why I love the way Rock Band is doing it with the way that they're doing their transactions is, well, here's a pack, but you can buy the song by itself for $2. And, you know, that works for me. So I'm not a big fan of packs, and we haven't really talked about the pack in general. Even with say Halo, you know, it could get to the point where they could say, well, here's a pack of three maps, or you can buy the maps separately. Yeah. I don't think it's nearly as much of an issue as it is with like Guitar Hero, but, you know, it would still be a cool gesture to do something like that.
Yeah. And then I haven't heard a single person complain about the Rock Band pricing schemes at all.
No, not at all.
You guys, I think it's perfect, you know, $2 a song and you save some money.
Yeah.
If you want those things.
The larger their pack, the more money you save too, because if you look at the three song pack, you're saving 50 cents. But then they have a six song pack and you're saving like $2 or whatever it is. I don't remember how much it was exactly. It's like $10 for six songs where it would usually be 12, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So that's good. I love how they're doing that.
Harmonix have their shit together. That's for sure.
Agreed.
And surprisingly, they were working under EA too. So they're able to pull some strings over there.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what kind of affiliation they have with EA with Rock Band. Do they?
Yeah, then they buy them out. Isn't that the whole thing? They bought them from Activision, basically. They bought them out.
I don't know.
I don't think EA is just publishing it. I'm pretty sure they own Harmonix now.
Oh,
I could be wrong though.
I don't know. I thought they were just publishing. So anyway,
huge news.
Jeff?
Yeah.
Any closing statements?
I think it's bullshit. In consoles, I don't think there's room for microtransactions. Like the first email said, the macro stuff, that is fine with me. I'd rather pay a chunk of money up front, get all the content, than have like a month or a bit down the line, they have another big chunk. This is how much it is. I'm not down with them in terms of like Rock Band, like we just talked about Rock Band, Guitar Hero, that's stuff where it makes sense to pick and choose. But I don't like the picky choosy stuff when there's a whole bunch of other crap that you're missing out on. I'd rather just pay the money. So I'm cool with expansions, cool with add-ons, not cool with microtransactions, so to speak. I just hope they don't get really popular.
Cool. Because it'll get too expensive.
Yeah, I guess it really just depends on what kind of transactions they're doing, you know?
And the game too.
Yeah.
Well, can you guys think of any good examples out there? Like free to download, free to play.
I still love Dungeon Runners.
Dungeon Runners is a cool one. Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
Some of the other big ones out there are like Maple Story. There's
Maple Story.
That's huge. You can actually buy Maple Story cards. I think it's at Target or whatever. I'm like, wow, that's really getting big now. It's kind of cool.
There's a ton of browser-based ones, too.
Which is neat, yeah. A new one that's in beta right now is called instantaction.com. Oh, check that out. Seriously, there's some cool stuff out there. I was trying something out on the break. What's that?
Speaking of cards, I can't remember if we talked about this already, and I think I know Chris might know the answer to this, but I could be wrong if this is the game or not, but is it true that Night of Judgment, or there's some kind of card game out there for a console that you not only have to buy the packs of cards themselves, you also have to buy the cards online?
Yes, from what I have heard, that is correct.
What is up with that?
I have judgment. You have to, not only do you have to buy the cards, but you have to buy the expansion so you could download the cards into the game. And I am 100% done with Eye of Judgment.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't been playing it that much anyway, but I mean, the words rip off don't even describe how I feel about this whole situation with Eye of Judgment. I mean, I already thought Eye of Judgment, the cards were way too expensive anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I excused the expense of the cards because of the programming that went into the game itself. So, you know, $4 a pack, 8 cards in the pack. fine. I understand, you know, you guys need to make money and you're doing a lot of back-end programming to get the characters to do what they need to do and that kind of thing. Now that's all out the window because you're paying $4 for 8 cards and then you're paying $15 for the shit that they programmed for those cards.
Yep.
So it's a load of crap. And, you know, I would even be satisfied if, you know, they're doing the same thing they did with the last pack. They're doing theme packs and they're doing boosters. But where is my starter pack? I would even be happy with a starter pack that had, like, whether it be like a transaction code or whatever, to download the update.
But that would just make too much sense, though.
Yeah, oh, exactly. That would make sense. God forbid I should pay $15 for a pack of 30 cards and actually get the download for free.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Fuck them, and they can shove their PSI straight up their ass until it comes out their mouth. I don't give a shit. I'm pretty much done with Eye of Judgment. They've ticked me off now. And that's how I feel about that.
All right, that's all I got for emails. You guys have anything else you want to add? Can think of any other games, arguments?
No, I'm good.
It sounds like to you guys talking, the companies that have done it right, for the most part, are on the PC front right now, right? We haven't really seen anyone on consoles do it 100% right yet.
I haven't seen much on the console do it right. And the PC is still, at least in the West anyway, it's a muddled market. You know, companies are still trying to decide how to go about doing it. And there's not a real consistency.
Okay.
So
yeah, and like I said, the only games I think that have done it right here are ones that have done it the way that I like, where it's been release your game, pay $60, release expansion, $10, a couple months later, release something else, $10.
Right.
But for more content, like, price doesn't matter, but more content basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, I obviously think the Rock Band's doing right.
Well, no, that's an exclusion for me, though. I figured that's just kind of like.
I don't mind the way Warhawk is doing it. Because their content is, it's a pretty good chunk. You know, you're only getting one map or whatever, but the map is huge and you can section it off, right? And then there's like new weapons and there's new vehicles and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
so
that's what
I don't really have a problem with that either. I mean,
I'm not sure how I feel about this new one though, because they're adding one map and one new vehicle. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think that there's like a bubble shield, or maybe that's part of 3.1.
There's a couple 1.31 or something. Yeah, that's the 1.1 whatever. But see, that's the thing is, like, I know we're kind of going in circles here, but see, I like the way Warhawk's doing it because they're releasing it all at one price. I wouldn't like it if they had like. They took those six items or whatever that's going to be in
and broke them up,
whatever, and have them you can buy individually because then that kind of segregates everyone. It's like, hey, I'm going to play this game, but I have this weapon, I can't use it because no one else in this map has this item, so now it's useless,
right? Well, in the case of like maps and vehicles, you know, that I think it's different than having just individual weapons because it affects more people, obviously,
for sure.
Not that I'm arguing for them breaking up the expansion packs, but I'm just not sure that it's a fair argument. Jeff.
Whatever.
Anyway.
All right, cool.
Hang it. Back bacon.
I think we're done, right? Tell me we're done.
Well, now you're just trying to, I see what you're doing.
What am I doing?
No, not you. Jeff's guy. He's making with the Canadian jokes, so I'll get sick of it. Well, I'll never get sick of it. That's all I've got, man. Why do you guys call it back bacon anyway? I don't get it.
We don't.
Call it
we
what?
Call it Canadian bacon. We back call it bacon. Back bacon. We call it female bacon. Mm-hmm. We have a bunch of different names.
Did you say female bacon?
Female.
Oh.
Female bacon.
I didn't know there was a difference between male and female bacon. I thought by the time it became bacon, it didn't matter anymore. Okay. Moving on.
We're done with this. Sal, get your own show.
Oh, wait. He did that already.
I'm going to write him like a 3-page email. I want you to read the whole damn thing.
Jason's gonna get his revenge on the cell.
I'm gonna send them the longest friggin' email and voicemail. All right. We're done with this topic. Should we move on to regular stuff, or should we go into new releases or something?
Let's do new releases.
New releases. Hell yeah.
New releases. So next week, coming out for the Wii, is Battle of the Bands, which I'm still not sure exactly what the hell this is. It's a rhythm game that I have no idea. The description I saw, it says takes band battles to a new level by adding a lethal edge to musical instruments.
Right.
Like, all right, so what is there, a blade chainsaws on the end of my guitar that I get to chop people up with? Wild Earth African Safari, which is Pokemon Snap. Target Terror. And Mario Kart comes out next week.
That's next week?
Yeah, for us, it's a week from Sunday. For everyone listening, it's this coming Sunday.
Wow.
But yeah, it comes out this week. I was surprised too. I was like, man, that thing came fast. But yeah it's the 27th.
Wow. 2 days before GTA.
That's right. GTA is the 29th. All right. So the DS is getting River King Mystic Valley, which is apparently
a sequel to the Bayou Billy.
No, this is an adventure fishing game, I believe, of some sort. Oh. Yeah. Dream Pinball 3D and The World Ends With You, which that's made by the same people that did Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah.
I'm somewhat interested in this, but I want to see more about it. So
looks kind of quirky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get some more info by next week. 360 is getting NBA Ballers Chosen One. Not that I'm interested in that. PS3 is also getting NBA Ballers, and they're also getting Call of Duty 4 Buy Me Again Edition. PS2 is getting Persona 3 Fez.
Sweet.
Yep. And PSP is getting Chameleon, which is some sort of puzzle game. I couldn't find much information on that.
Okay.
But that's it. That's the new releases. So, I'm thinking about getting Persona 3 now.
Yeah, me too.
You know, especially with Fez out now, I might end up looking into that. Cool. But, big highlight next week is Mario Kart, of course. Mm-hmm. I hope the online works.
Me too.
Cool. Jason.
Yeah.
Do you have any other emails?
I got one from Ditch Pig.
Another one?
Yeah, that's later. I'll get to that in a minute. I wasn't ready, man.
Oh, sorry. Well, you can cut shit out. That's fine.
One thing to do.
And carry the feature, too, with all those friggin' the Sow emails. Jesus Christ.
With the 4-in-1 email we got from the Sow.
All right, this email is from the figure in the shadows. Fitz, dear Interactive Distractions. You responded to my previous email, which I would first like to thank you for doing so, but you missed what I was getting at. Why not have a discussion about people who make games for a living? Would a girl-made game be different than a boy-made game? Why, etc.? I'm pretty sure I have a contact from another podcast who is female and worked on the WWE SmackDown vs. Raw 08 DS game, and I will try to get her in contact with you all. I still have not received an email yet. Anyway, my point was really not to limit the discussion to characters. Maybe that could be Volume 1 and Volume 2 be about developers or something. You don't need to have a person on the other side of the table to talk about. Look at the discussion some people had about trusting Jade Raymond or if she would even be allowed to speak. Do you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Finally, you mentioned that you know who I am? Really? I've barely started listening, and I just registered for VG Evo a week or so ago. Who am I? I'll be watching, not listening. Sincerely, Mom. Fitz. Mom?
Well, if he just joined VG Evo a couple weeks ago, then we were incorrect on who we thought it was. At least I was.
He could be lying.
He could be lying.
Yeah. Or she.
What's that?
No, exactly.
Do we know what's in the literature?
But I will keep the charade going. I have no idea who it is, really.
This is just the things that we do when we're bored.
Yeah. We're writing emails to ourselves, correcting ourselves, misinterpreting our own emails. That's just what we do. All right, this one's from Bitch Pig, but I'm going to lump it in with another one afterwards, too. So this is like two emails about one thing. All right. I just watched I just wanted to shoot you guys a quick email. Thank you for the plug on the show. I know it's a tangent, probably didn't seem like much, but I do appreciate it. I'm sure the show's kickoff will appreciate it as well. Thanks, the Sal. Second email from Stockfist. Your podcast is one of my favorites. I love your relaxed, friendly, conversational style. My other favorite is the Gamers with Jobs conference call. But seeing as how they have yet to join the VG Evo community, I won't mention them again. And that one's from Sockfist. I think I mentioned that. The reason that I lumped them together is because I have no problem pimping other podcasts on this show. We're not in competition with anybody besides Torgo, because he's an ass. in Warhawk. Great guy, I'm sure, in real life, but whatever. we have no problem mentioning other podcasts, even if they're not part of the VG Evo network. I've listened to Gamers with Jobs. I like their show. I also listen to Orange Lounge Radio. They're part of a completely different podcast network over at allgamer.com. They've got a cool show. They've been doing it for a very long time. They put out like a 3-hour weekly show. It's amazing.
Wow.
I don't know how they do it consistently.
Yeah. MC Wilson is back with Broadcast Gamer, and we have no problem mentioning that.
Yep. You know,
he does a good job. Team Fremont Live, we like them too. So, you know, we have no problem pimping other shows. We're all one big, happy gaming community of people that talk about games. Yeah.
I hope you guys, are you guys getting paid for this shit? Because I haven't seen a penny. Like, I love everybody. Everybody is awesome. Everything is great.
Bitch Pig actually lets us use his internet connection. Cut me in.
Yeah, we get to use his business connection.
For as many times as we've pimped his show that isn't even out yet. Cast.
And you're you setting up the
room next week. All right, that's all I got for emails, guys.
Cool.
All right.
Well, we should probably come up with another question of the week for next week. What do you guys think?
Oh, did we do that yet?
I don't know. Did we think about one? Fuck, I can't remember.
I know you're probably joking, but I really don't remember what it was.
No, I see.
Well, we talked about it beforehand, Jason. I'm sorry you don't remember. But we're going to actually take the suggestion of a couple of listeners that posted on our forum at vgevo.com. And the new question of the week is, do you think that the pre-owned game market is bad for the industry?
That's right.
I already answered this question last week. It's destroying the industry.
And now we can go into more detail, Jason, about it.
What we do.
It's easy to answer questions.
This is a podcast. Our next question of the week is going to be multiple choice.
Exactly.
And then followed by a true false question.
See.
It'll be the shortest show ever.
See.
Hey, should we do our giveaway next week?
Do we have a giveaway?
This week's like the giving best away. The giveaway, we can't say. Well, I guess we kind of do have to. We don't say it now. We can put it on the board.
The fuck are you talking about?
Go for it, Jeff. I know what he's talking about, but
I'll just say it. Okay, basically, we need to have a question, though. We think of a question or something that's maybe, you know what we should do? We should do something to do with trivia. Something we'll do a trivia question on our show. So a question about one of our episodes, past episodes, so 1 through 21, or 1 through 21. We'll ask one question. The winner gets brand new. Has been open. It's an older game, but a copy of Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories for the PSP.
Hey, cool.
With that.
Is it one of the greatest hits ones or no?
No, it's just one of the originals.
Really? See, that might actually be a very good prize for someone who's looking to modify their PSP. I'm just saying.
Ah, there you go.
Just saying.
I'll double check it. I'm pretty sure it's not the greatest hits one, but it hasn't been open, so it's not like you're getting a used piece of shit or anything like that.
Well, that's still cool. It's a great game by itself.
Yeah, really. Well, okay. we'll discuss that during the week, and we'll come up with something to propose to them next week.
Sounds good.
Cool. This is our first contest. This is awesome.
Yeah, how about that?
Wow.
So, contest coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Keep your eye out.
Question of the week is, do you think the pre-owned gaming market is bad for the industry? And if you would like to answer the question of the week, you can do it one of many different ways. Email at interactivedistractions.com. That's one way you can get us. We also love hearing voicemails. So send us a voicemail at...
Over and over again.
That's right. Jason does. Anyway.
I do.
Hello? That number is
818.
Hang on. Whoa. Do I leave a message?
Hang on.
I really didn't think it was okay. No. Anyway.
Anyway, that number is 818-528-GAME or 818-528-4263. You can also get us on Skype at Interactive Distractions. All one word?
.com. All lowercase. No.
Jesus.
Shit, I fucked it up.
You have one job.
I was playing with something here. Not...
Yeah, I bet you were.
Something very technical and decidedly uncreepy.
We don't want to know what you're playing with. You can also get us on Google Talk at interactivedistractions@gmail.com. Don't forget Warhawk Wednesdays. We had our last Warhawk Wednesday wasn't very successful, but hopefully we'll get the bugs out and we'll have a better one this coming week.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'll be there. And Jeff will be there for sure, right?
I will be there, yes. If you guys are still playing at like 10, I'll be there, yeah.
Should be.
Yeah, we should be playing then. I should also mention that you can email us an MP3 if you want to do a recording that way. So keep that in mind, too. Cool. Well, you guys have anything to close out with?
No. No, I think I'm good.
I'm good.
Cool. I am, too. Well, thank you guys very much for listening. And I am Chris Riccio, and for Jason A. Stryker.
That's me.
And Jeff Chorney.
Get over here.
We'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, bye.
Take it easy. Check you later. See you on the flip side.
See you in two and two.
Well, this is episode 22. Hello and welcome to episode number 22 of the Interactive Distractions podcast.
Chris?
22, my lucky number.
Hold on, guys. Yeah.
What?
I wasn't recording yet. I didn't realize we were starting.
You know what?
Should I start now?
I forgot.
Awesome! We are totally on it today. All right.
Oh, yeah.
3, 2, 1, go.
Is it like 3, 2, 1, then go?
3, 2, 1, and then go.
I'm recording. It's good.